It is 1899, the turn of the 20th century. 23 years after the extraordinary British scientist Phileas Fogg went around the world in 80 days, he now seeks to better his own feet, to travel to any seven destinations on the planet, no matter how far within the year. Fogg will then justifiably become the head of the Royal Academy of Science. There's just one small problem. Phileas Fogg is a cad, a philanderer, a murderer, and a monster. Only a small group of dashing heroes know the truth, and only they can stop him in an adventurous race around the world. Sugar-Fueled Gamers, in association with RPGMP3.com, presents The World's Most Wondrous Year, a Savage Worlds pulp adventure. A small word of warning. This game is played at a table with a baby and a toddler. Expect a little bit of crying and some periodic toddler commentary throughout the podcast, but that dies off about 30 minutes to an hour in when we put the kids to bed. Thanks for your patience. Episode 31. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, where last we left you? Way to give it some menace.
Hey, it's got GM's chips.
So, GM's pet at the moment.
Even after you left you, we were getting up at 6:15 to look after babies and we're very tired.
When last we left you, you had solved the three deadly traps of the Temple of Kilguato.
Yes!
And had emerged victorious with no further obstacles between you and your prize, save one small one.
Yep. Yes, the solutions to the puzzles, of course, being brawn, intelligence, and air spirits. The classic triumvirate. brawn, intelligence, and air elementals.
It would be tempting to build traps like that where there's just there's no solution to them. There's a lever up here. How the hell is anyone supposed to get there?
Air elementals.
What do I look like, a trap designer? Call up some damn air elementals. So you have entered the last room of the temple.
Oh, okay. I'm moving them further.
Too many chips.
Well, no one else was eating them, and there's a lot in there.
Well, yeah. I've just eaten dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give us time. They'll disappear.
Yeah,
we promise.
I have no doubt of that.
Yes, but I don't want it to be because I hate them.
You're entering the last room of the temple. There is basically the stone platform that you're on. This large pole going across the room with a little set of stairs rising up out of it on the other side, where there is this large crocodile statue with in its stone jaws big ruby, and you look at that for a moment and go, ah, well, clearly we just need to, and then something curls its way around the ruby sitting in the crocodile's mouth.
Wow.
Is Tom.
Oh, Thomas.
Looking vicious as he does, and of course he has glowing red eyes.
Yep.
A sure sign of something being wrong.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh my god, he's turned into Cyclops!
Alright, so
kill him.
I don't know if we want to draw for initiative immediately, because Jonathan's going to make an immediate try to drive across and get the room.
I don't know if Jared's ready to start yet. Are you ready to start?
My first question is there a boat?
No. There's nothing of the
kind. How deep is the water?
How you intend to find out?
Swim up to it.
It
certainly looks like water.
Yeah, but how deep is it?
Can you measure that with your sight alone?
Well, can I see the bottom?
No.
Okay, so that answers the question. Deep enough that we can't see the bottom. Because if it was, it's perfectly possible it's 10 centimetres of water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we are presumably going to need to swim across.
Yeah.
However, I think I should science it to make sure
that's
it,
actually. At the edges, yes, you can, but there's stonework under it, funneling down. So at the very edges, you can see it, but it's presumably getting deeper as it goes in.
Yeah, okay. So I can't see the bottom.
No.
That's what I was trying to find out.
You can see the bottom at the edges, but that's functionally useless to you.
Yeah. I presume it's a wide enough chamber that jumping across isn't particularly feasible.
Correct. Not unless you're absurdly superhuman at jumping.
Oh, yeah. No, for regular people jumping. Yeah. As none of us is Chandra, we don't have Uber jumping at home.
Chandra's not in this game.
Hence the reason the Uber jump is not available.
The water or the liquid, just make sure it is safe for us.
So, you can. Tom, as you all pause to watch him,
yeah.
Basically sits on the other side and hisses and spits and flicks his claws at you, but doesn't otherwise, you know, leap across you, breathe fire, or do anything of the sort. So yeah, there's nothing stopping you. Reach down. Science.
Yep.
It turns different colours as it's prone to do.
That's
cool. Yeah. This is largely river water. It is not actually stagnant in any way, which suggests to you it probably links to an actual underground water source somewhere, of which there's about 200 gabillion in this area. You will detect a couple of other little contaminants, though. Nothing you need to actually worry about. The water's certainly not poisonous or contaminated or anything. But it looks like there's a lot of samples in here of what looks like a bit of blood, a bit of bone. A lot of dead things have been in this pool.
So there may be something, just because the water itself isn't poisonous, there may be some kind of giant crocodile that lives in here.
So the water is polluted to the thin degree that a lot of things have died in here. But
probably a crocodile.
You probably wouldn't drink it given your druthers, but you could.
So I'm gonna pass that along.
Look, you see this bit of skull floating in here? That says bad.
Yeah. All right. If we do try and swim it, the chances are not remote that an enormous crocodile rises out of the depths to eat us.
Mm.
If we don't swim it, of course, we can't get to Tom, who clearly needs assistance of some kind, and the eye.
If only we had some more arrow.
I'm sure Burnham had a collapsible boat.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
I presume there's nothing obvious raft.
How big is the room zone-wise?
About five.
Okay.
So one on this end. Sorry, there'd be six. One on this end, one on this end, four in the middle.
Okay. Four zones of water to cross.
Okay. So it's a pretty decent-sized room.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to find out how deep it is.
I can go in and have a go. But Dr. Strange, this is a slightly awkward question, but in the event that you were in a position, do you have any kind of cat carrier on your in your possession?
I have my loving arms.
Yes, but what if you needed
an
to
excellent
take him to the vet or anything like that?
Well, he hasn't been a cat that long.
I think the answer is Bernard had it.
Yeah, Bernard did have the capacity to carry a cat-sized object.
I have a sleeping bag.
And somewhere we cut away to Dr. Anthony Morrow is sitting on his sitting in his time machine. He looks back at Bernard. We can't make it. We've got too much weight. Throw something into the time stream.
Oh no! Damn it, Bernard! I paid you.
Somewhere in 65 million BC, a caveman gets whacked on the head with a flying catcage.
So that's big technology
then,
that destroyed the dinosaur.
And then the spark comes and discovers why.
Yeah.
Because the law is you never disrupt the time scene without causing a major invention to be developed. Yes, all right. I will hop into the water and begin endeavouring to swim briskly across because I don't want to muck about because in case there's a horrible river monster.
Okay. So when you hop in, there's a little splash, you know, a tiny ripple, and you're in water up to your ankles. As you, because you literally need to actually walk forward several places before you can even start swimming, what you'll be able to work out is the whole thing is basically a basin like this, getting however much deeper towards the middle. But you don't actually have to swim it. You could just literally walk around the outside.
Okay.
Okay.
As far as you can see, it's...
Well, I don't... I don't desperate... The deeper the water, the more problems with crocodiles, so I'm good to start walking around the outside and see if anything jumps me.
Okay, so you convey that to us. That
yeah, actually, you can wade around the edges here, and Pete will begin doing so.
It's going to take you substantively longer, but...
Yeah, not currently pressing time.
Safer?
Alright, so Pete will continue wading.
Yep.
Until either something jumps out of them or he reaches the other side.
Can you make me a notice check?
Five.
And yeah, this is dark, so... at minus two, unless you can have darkness-based things.
Can somebody from land see you?
I don't have a lantern, and if someone's got one out, it won't do me much.
There are lights in the room, but it's basically below the water surface.
Oh, right, okay.
It's dark out.
No, I don't see whatever it is because it's too dark down there. I would see it if the water was less in some way, but that seems super likely.
So, you move around the edge of the room. The room itself is lit, as in there are torches up, just like they've been in all the other rooms, but... No water. No water in the water.
No light.
There's no light glowing in the water or anything like that.
Is anyone following me as I go, or are you staying? Okay, Jonathan's starting into the water.
Are you going around, or are you going through?
I'm going around. I did just say that.
I'm going around too.
Pete, as you get to around the halfway point, everyone can now give me a notice check.
At minus two?
No, actually.
I make it.
So.
I make it.
I make it.
I make it.
Roll it again.
Yeah.
So it's a seven.
Yeah, survive.
So, Pete, as you're getting round towards the middle, it is getting deeper, but not to the extent you're getting seriously alarmed. At this point, you're about up to your waist. So it looks like it goes basin like this, but dips at these edges as well, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And so you're now saying, walk through the water, and then you hear... crunching noises as Pete walks.
So we're crunching on bones.
Crunching on something down.
Well, I look down. I just made the notice check.
Yeah, all of us made the notice check, so...
Something down there. Kind of dark.
Okay. Oh, so we needed to make more notice checks.
So that's the listen check to hear the crunch, crunch, crunch.
Oh, okay.
Alright.
If you want to know what's down there, you can stick your hand in the dark
water. I'm going to start swimming, because it's freaking me out.
Yeah, you are now deep enough that you can... You don't need to do so, but you can do so.
Yeah.
Swim me. Other people start following?
Yeah, Jonathan and Dr. Strange. So I imagine we've got sort of a bit of gap
between
each person.
When you two get about the halfway
point,
I'll be
in the middle of you two.
Crunch.
I'll stay on the other side just in case.
Yep. Crunch, crunch.
Because I'm no use on the other side of the pool, and I want to be where my husband is.
Swimming. You come round to the stone steps. Ghost Tom from up above you.
Alright, so I'm going to, given that Doctor Strange is coming, I'm going to stay in the water on the edge and not actually step off onto the pillar, because I think that's going to be what triggers him. Besides, now I am in a position to get out of the water if something water-based comes and attacks me.
Tom hisses and spits. The other two of you come round.
Pete is going to draw his sleeping bag, in which he intends to wrap up a crazed feline while Doctor Strange demagics.
Okay, so I'm going to have a look at him. He's obviously possessed. Is it better that I talk to him as an animal or as a spirit?
I think what Doctor Strange is looking at is a knowledge of culture on countering people.
Can you give me a knowledge of culture?
Countering the best means to counter possession she has at her disposal.
How would I take a photograph?
A 12.
This is a moment we definitely don't want to remember.
You look at him, and you definitely see Tom in there, in his eyes.
So it is the correct cat?
It's, yeah, it, as in, you're not looking at a spirit that has possessed him. It's not as if Tom's mind is gone or temporarily suppressed and something else is driving the cat.
Mm.
It's actually Tom, it's your husband, but he seems quite crazed. So the answer to this is he's not actually possessed. You think that he has given in to the spirit of hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, based on the previous psychic events that happened 6 weeks ago, real time now. Do you still remember them?
Yeah, mostly. It was trying to...
Gilquato showed up and tempted you with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And Tom gave in to it.
Yeah, because Tom was trapped in there.
Yeah. So... it's still Tom. He's not possessed by anything per se. He's just given in to the temptations of the spirit of hunger.
So drain power points would help.
Would it? I would think banished would be more used.
No, he's not possessed.
He's not possessed. What would you be banishing?
If you look at it as the chart.
Or dispel or drain power points.
Read the descriptions.
Dispel.
As you think about this,
that's
a
really big
gem. I was just about to say, while this is going on, I'm getting my sleeping bag out of my backpack because I'm going to need something to carry that rope in.
Oh dear!
Well, then put it in your backpack.
Yes, but my backpack is full of things.
Now remember, Abu, don't touch anything.
It's also big. It's not going in a backpack.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Not unless you want to start smashing it into bits, which would seem to defeat the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's the thing that does the healing, is it? Or is it something else that does the healing?
No,
this
does
the healing.
It's also as ruby as big as Jonathan, so you won't.
So, I can... I think we will have three notice checks opposed by stealth momentarily. See whether anyone else notices Jonathan doing this. Imagine you're not per se trying to hide it, but other people are doing things.
Woo. I got a 10.
I got a 4. Mm-hmm. There's some question about not whether Mara can see it, but whether she can do anything about it.
It's more I want the cat distracted. We have to come here and get it, so no one's going to be like, don't pick it up.
13.
Yeah.
Not 13.
Not 10?
No.
More
okay.
than Pete.
Yeah, Pete doesn't see Jonathan.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
So, Jonathan, as far as such things go, this actually looks pretty easy. You know, the statue has squat crocodile arms sticking out, squat crocodile legs sitting on its haunches. It's got the big scales carved into it. There's actually plenty of places to put hands. You've climbed things significantly tougher than this, so no problem to haul yourself up there.
So,
looking at the big shiny gem, you haul yourself up, and as you get a bit closer to it, you can see a couple of things. This huge ruby is actually quite intricately made. It's clearly been man-carved, man-polished, that sort of thing. And there's that strange red light glowing out from it. And you see, actually, just looking behind it, there's actually two things up here. There's this huge-ass ruby, and then the ruby itself looks like, as you look in it, there's a little, not a doorway, a little opening carved into it. And inside the ruby is a ball of light about the size of your fist. And that's where the light is coming from. So the giant ruby is actually not the Eye of Kilquato. The giant ruby is a container for the Eye of Kilquato. But it's still a giant ruby, and you have to have it.
Yeah. I get to keep the giant ruby now. I'm so happy. We'll go get the eye. I get to keep the giant ruby. I don't have to share it.
So did I actually notice him, or?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not actually big.
Dr. Strange, you're sort of talking to... talking to Tom to try and get a read on him of sorts, and going, you know, Tom, it's me. And then, out of the corner of your eye, and Mara, you're just watching across the room, taking the scene. You see Jonathan climbing up and looking at the big ruby and going,
Okay, so I'm gonna step forward and start attracting the cat.
Calling to Tom.
Calling to Tom to get Tom to come towards me.
Alright, I think let's have this maximum drama, okay? What about Doctor Strange steps onto the island and begins calling to and drawing Tom's attention. Pete steps onto the island with her and Jonathan tries to pick up the big ruby all at the same moment.
Yeah.
And I'm ready the shot for when he does take it.
Let's see if we can set off as many mystical things all at once.
Okay, so Doctor Strange, can you give me a persuasion check at +2?
Oh, because I am marriage.
Yes. Because you have a close relationship with Tom. It'd actually be more if he wasn't in his current state.
Does she get +1 from the feather?
Yes.
Yes, actually.
So this is
obviously a Kilquato related effect.
Ah, I rolled really bad.
Yeah, but
I?
+3.
Yeah, it's 6. But I wish I could have gone like explosions after explosions.
Poses with his.
Right,
how and what is that, Doctor Strange?
6.
It was a 6.
Yep. So that will beat Tom's empathy.
Oh, hey.
He's
just
a
need
cat.
To beat it. I know, but
he's a special cat.
Yeah, he's a special cat.
Remember, you want to beat Tom's empathy.
So, what are you doing to him? What the scene looks like
there,
if the camera pans up.
There was he got injured once with one of his temple runs, and he came back from the temple run, and he was in the hospital for about 6 months because he was in a coma. Back in those days, it was quite a serious thing, and blah blah blah. And I used to sit by the bed and I'd sing him this song about the tales of a heroic man that would journey through the temples and get the shiny gems and stuff like that. And it was basically a song about the time we first met. And I'd sing the song to him with my arms out, coming towards him, hoping he would leap down into my arms. So I can embrace him and my husband.
Pete lurks about a couple of feet behind Doctor Strange with a sleeping bag, waiting for a crazed cat attack.
Yeah,
Doctor Strange can't see this, but Pete's expression is eloquent of his lack of belief that this is actually going
to
work.
Tom moves over to the edge out the front of the gym.
Mm.
His eyes off Jonathan, because your stealth check is also opposing him.
Yes.
So he's looking this way, you're coming up from that angle, and he looks down at Doctor Strange, sort of tilts his head slightly. For half a second, the red light in his eyes goes out as he listens to the song, and then he sort of jumps down towards you as he's coming down in slow motion.
Oh dear.
That's when Jonathan reaches out, and now, of course, you do have two choices here, because this ruby looks like it is designed to be open. There is a very obvious little carved door in there, even a little ruby hook on it. So you can just pull it open and take the eye, no problem. But it is worth dying for.
It is, and I'm going to take the ruby.
Yep.
But if I take the ruby, will the eye still be there, or will the eye stay here? Because if I take the ruby now and the eye's gonna stay with it,
yep,
that does make our lives a lot easier.
Yeah, the eye appears. The eye.
Because then you've got a reason to protect it.
Appears to be inside it.
Yes.
Jonathan attempts to pick up the giant ruby.
I take a photograph.
Reach out. The giant ruby.
It's all yours.
And Tom is just leaping down. You put your hands on the giant ruby and you step back onto the sort of lower jaw of the crocodile at this point and lift it triumphantly. You have succeeded in getting a prize, and then
clam
boom runs through the temple, and the whole place begins to shake.
Oh no!
And from behind Pete in the water, there is this noise as the water begins to suck down in a slow whirlpool. Something begins churning in there, and you hear a come through the temple. And then the is not actually a physical word everything around the temple, it is just a thought in all of your heads.
Mm.
Mine.
Oh no. My precious.
And we draw for initiative?
We draw for initiative.
This whole time, Susan, I've been thinking of Ophidian.
Huh?
From Green Lantern. You know, the...
It's nice to finally get a chance to cash in that green.
The entity of greed.
It is nice because... What
did you call it?
Ophidian?
When I walked in here.
Is that how you call it? The Orange Lantern.
Lafarius?
No, yeah, yeah, the entity for the Orange Lanterns.
Oh, you
the
mean
serpent.
The... Yeah, okay. I don't know what it's called. I've forgotten its name.
Okay. Well, that's who I've been thinking of the whole time.
Oh,
that
okay.
Big orange snake going, mine!
We get XP.
Yes,
oh, yes, please.
Has an XP.
Bad enough to take us over the top?
No.
So close.
Another level to go.
Yeah, but if we survive this, we'll definitely get enough XP to take us over the top.
Look, this is all his fault. If he told me that I wasn't this giant ruby... He was like,
you realise it's all on purpose.
Yeah.
And something begins to emerge from the pool. So large, it is quite difficult to ignore at this point.
Yeah.
Even for people who aren't actively trying to look at this. Doctor Strange, you'll hear this warm glance over your shoulder. Tom's coming down in slow motion because this is all happening in the span of half a dozen seconds. And there is this head emerging from the water.
Carrying a plastic bag of chips.
It looks like a great crocodile. See, this is the colossal red dragon is a good mini.
It's meant to be my husband.
Yeah, well, it ain't. It's Kilquato. The GM wants it for Kilquato, and the GM is claiming it for Kilquato.
Okay, fine.
You have called for Kilquato. You have brought the mini for Kilquato, and Kilquato has come.
This great head appears to be unfolding under there. It looks somewhat like a normal crocodile.
Well done, Adam. You've got the Kilquato attack photo.
Albeit it is atrociously huge. You're talking another one of these big-ass, temple-sized monsters. Moreover, it seems to be getting bigger as it's coming out of the water.
That's troubling.
Like it's enlarging?
It is physically getting larger.
Okay.
It is starting to fill the... What you see when it comes out is a very large crocodile head, like 4 or 5 times bigger than a normal crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
But over the next little span of time, it is continuing to get bigger. So it's not actually coming out of the water. It's growing in the water. And that's what's churning the water up and things. And this thing emerges, and for a moment you feel two things off it. The first of which is, what the hell is that? And the second of which is the feeling that comes off it, this feeling of naked greed and want and hunger, the knowledge that everything you ever want in the world can be yours, and this thing can give it to you. Physically, it looks like a large, increasingly growing crocodile, but one of its eyes is completely gone. It's just dead screwed up shut in that little crocodile.
Yeah, because we've got it in the ruby.
Like the other ones you've seen around this area, one side of its mouth is warped, the right teeth are bigger than the left, and it makes a sort of vague sneer on its face. And Kilquato emerges, and can everyone give me a fair check at -2?
That's correct.
Yep.
Yay! 5.
8. Success with a raise.
Nice.
No, I'm not losing my jaw. I'm not losing this.
You're not losing your jaw or your jaw.
Yeah, well.
I'm losing it.
Yeah, I think John, but in all fairness, this might fit in with the room, given it's a greed check.
Yeah,
this might fit in.
You're going on a preset set of options here.
Don't forget.
No, but I was only failing by one, so I was like, I just need to up it by one.
You already spent one.
Failing it by one, and you've spent a chip on it, then haven't you succeeded?
Yeah, I re-rolled it.
Yeah, but you would have spent one if you thought about it.
If I thought about it, I would have done that instead. Yeah.
So you did that.
Okay.
Yay!
You made the check.
So it emerges.
I rolled a 5, minus 2 was a 3.
Right, yep, so 1 is all you need.
So Kilquato emerges, and for a moment, everyone sort of freezes briefly.
Yeah.
And we see, as we pan in, as the camera pans in on everyone, just the sudden volley of whispers in their head. Jonathan, you are here. You are hearing the crowds of adoring scientists applauding wildly. Several attractive young women among them going, "Dr. Hannah, Dr. Hannah, you're so fabulous and so wealthy." You hear your own voice. "I must go in my private jet now."
See you later.
Well, yes,
ladies.
I did invent jets.
Mara, you hear the voices of all of your people around you. Unlike what you are used to, really animated and excited and interested. "Oh, Mara, teach us more. Tell us all the wonders. Show us your pictures. Let's be more like Mara."
Oh dear.
Wow.
Pete. You hear... I'll skip you.
Okay.
Dr. Strange, you of course hear Tom's broad, manly baritones. Mm-hmm. "You saved me. Thank you, Amanda. I couldn't have done this without you."
"You look younger every day."
It's a new foundation I'm using.
Pete, you hear what sounds like the start of a couple of whispers of voices that sound passingly familiar to you. And then they all just stop. And you hear Kilquato's voice echoing in your head again. "No. You are too close to another."
"True love saves you."
And it pulls away.
Sweet. Success with a raise.
"You cannot be his because you belong to somebody else."
That's awesome.
And then we move into initiative. And you have a couple of different options here, depending on what you want to do.
Okay.
For one thing, you can engage this thing in combat, if you so choose.
Even though it's a crocodile the size of a building.
I'm not driving your characters, I'm merely giving you the option.
Okay.
You know, it's a physical being.
Yeah.
You can engage it in... You actually really have no idea if it can bleed, be killed, whatever. But it appears to be a physical being as opposed to a ghost or whatever else. So you could theoretically engage it. Or you could run like fuck.
Okay. But where would we run to?
Well, that's the thing. You know how to get out of this temple. It's the same way you came in.
All the way back through all those trap rooms.
Yeah. In all fairness, most of which are obvious... are now disarmed.
Right, so it won't...
In the sense that opening the doors now just you pull the lever and you run in.
Right, okay.
So, you're not going to have to face all the traps again, but you are probably going to be chased by a giant crocodile monster while you do so.
But that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
That's pretty pulp as well.
Not to mention the whole problem of we get all the way back outside and that's when we face the entire village full of angry natives.
Okay, so presuming you want that option as opposed to fight Kilquato head on...
Well, hang on, let's take a poll on the table. I personally, if someone has to fight the giant crocodile, I'm prepared to take the lead role. However, despite my act toughness, I do not feel I will successfully be able to engage a giant crocodile the size of a building. What's more, we don't want to kill Kilquato, we just want his stuff.
Yeah.
We want Tom and the ruby, and then we want out of here.
Yeah.
So, unless you guys are mad and invested in engaging a giant crocodile, I say we book.
I'm good with booking. I've got my.
I'm okay with running. I want my husband first.
Well, he's coming to you.
I will be tail guard.
I haven't
caught
him yet.
Run your stuff out of here.
Catch him with your face.
I am happy. All right, we endorse plan. Run like fuck.
Okay.
We're not ruling out a few combat runs with the crocodile as it, you know, catches as we flee, but we want to do a run.
The way this is going to work is you are only an initiative for the purposes of PC order.
Yeah.
No, Te Kuahu's not opposing you in initiative directly. There's a string of obstacles to get through on the way out, because what you're going to realise within another round or so is the temple is collapsing, of course. You have removed the load-bearing boss.
Naturally.
So you need to escape through the collapsing temple while the giant, angry crocodile god of hunger chases you.
I do feel that we've picked the correct choice, because that sounds so pulp.
Yeah.
And I just realised you made the classic mistake. You forgot to replace the giant ruby with a giant bag of sand.
If you'd given me a giant bag of sand, I would have done that.
I really think Clato would have spotted that it's missed.
As soon as Jonathan starts moving, it will become obvious that the eye is the ball inside the ruby. It will literally start rattling round like a marble in there. It's not secured to anything.
Right, so it's not actually meant to be transported inside the ruby.
It's perfectly fine being transported inside the
okay.
ruby. The point here is you don't need to take the ruby with you.
Yep.
You could just open it up
yep.
and take the eye with you, because the thing is here is, Jonathan, this ruby is large and inconvenient and a pain in
this.
The backside to carry.
I have thought of this, and that's why I got my sleeping bag out to put the ruby in, so I can carry the sleeping bag with the ruby, which will be a lot easier.
It's still going to be large and heavy. Taking this ruby with you is going to basically push you up to your next level of weight encumbrance, which is a -1 on all agility and strength-related checks, i.e. the running and the jumping and all that kind of thing.
Yes, which is why I have fleet-footed.
Yeah, but of course...
I'm taking the ruby!
It's totally worth dying for.
Yes!
If you take this, you are not leaving this ruby behind.
No!
Under any circumstances.
No, I am not!
Wow!
If you survive this, I'll be so proud.
But I have to say, if your character was going to do that anyway, it's better to get the fate point for it.
Secondly, Doctor Strange, Tom falls towards you, hissing, spitting, and clearly hostile. You're not leaving him in here under any circumstances.
It's spinning, hissing, whatever the heck he's doing, he's coming with
you. He is not actually that heavy. You could carry him with ease if he wasn't actively resisting your efforts to do so.
Yeah.
And another way hits the table.
Thirdly and more just stuff.
Yeah.
The way this is going to work is it's everybody making a string of different checks depending on where you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Failing them results in Kilquato getting a shot at you, i.e. you start falling behind or miss a step or do something else wrong and Kilquato goes and has a bite at you. Anybody who wants to choose to fail these deliberately and take a pot shot at him and deliberately fall behind and let him take a bite at you is welcome to do so.
Yeah.
In the theory that you might shake him and prevent him from attacking other people and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
In the absence of that, these will be either things you can do as a group, but much more commonly things you will have to do yourselves, because you can't physically swim other people across unless you want to carry them. Which is an option available to you.
And one I'm keeping in reserve. If anybody gets KO'd, I will carry them. And Jonathan, I've got to tell you, if you go down, I will take you in the eye. I make no promises for your giant ass ruby. Stay conscious if you want to take it home.
I plan on that.
Doctor Strange, however, if I am forced to carry you, I will carry you and your crazy cat.
So this is all pretty much happening simultaneously.
Or I will make Jonathan carry the crazy cat and carry you, but we'll do it some.
Jonathan grabs the eye, the temple starts shaking, Kilquato begins growing out of the water, and Pete, you turn, sort of ready to bolt here. Ready to grab Tom, that sort of thing, and everybody is basically facing the same check here because you're all in the same circumstance. It is athletics to get out of this room. Jonathan is of course going to be doing a magnificent dive into the water off the top of the statue and swimming past Kilquato. Everyone else is going to be swimming / wadding / running / jumping to get out of here.
Nice.
And Doctor Strange, Tom falls towards you. And lands basically on you with ease, because you're actually trying to catch him, and then starts hissing and clawing and biting at you. So can you give me a fighting check to start with?
Fighting.
Tom is actively fighting you, and you are making a pose grapple check.
7.
Okay. You grab him with ease and hold him up, because, of course, he's a freaking cat. You hold him like this. He doesn't appear to be possessed of any supernatural strength, power, or anything of the sort. He's clawing and hissing and biting at you.
Okay.
And you hold him up and fend him off.
Yep. Pete will throw you the sleeping bag if you want it. Yeah, you can wrap the cat in a reduced amount of clawing he can actually do.
Is that something I can do on my turn?
Theoretically.
Okay.
Well, should we go around in initiative order?
Okay. Yeah.
Or just go? We don't have to go in initiative order. No. Can we just go around and what and we start with Doctor Strange?
Oh, okay. So it doesn't matter what order we're in.
The other one is because we're using the dramatic task system here. When you get clubs, they're bad for you.
Oh, okay. Oh. Good to know. So that.
But none of you have any powers related to changing your cards. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, so which order do you want to go in? Sweet?
I'm happy with either or.
Okay, all right, Doctor Strange, I drop a sleeping bag, you have a sleeping bag.
Okay. How do we put this on? Okay.
So, just to be clear here, is your action for the round to make your athletics check and bolt? Or is it to tie Tom up in the sleeping bag?
Do I get one or the other?
You can in fact do both as long as you're prepared to take penalties to both of them.
Oh, I can't take penalties to my athletics. My athletics is already a D4, so I'm wrapping my husband.
So, well, alternatively, you're just leaving him unwrapped.
Mm. And making fighting checks every round.
Yeah, but getting it... The thing is, would you rather fight a cat or a crocodile the size of a building?
So thus far you have made one fighting check as Tom basically leaps at you and vaguely attempts to claw you. You just fend him off trivially.
Okay.
You currently have him grappled. You can endeavour to secure him further by putting him in a sleeping bag, which will be another opposed fighting check. And you can endeavour to dive into the water and swim out of the room. You can do both. You're just at -2 penalties to both of them.
I would recommend endeavouring to escape this round and try and secure Tom on another round when you're... Not, or alternatively, just keep taking fighting checks and keep getting out of here.
Well, I'll see how it goes. I'll do the escapey thing because it's something I need to do, but I'll see how it goes. See if I need to put the sleeping bag on him.
Make me an athletics check then.
Just the normal athletics.
Yep, flat athletics.
No.
Okay, you dive into the water and start swimming past. The water isn't actually being sucked out of here. The whirlpool is pretty much coming from the mass of Kilquato is coming out and displacing the water.
Yeah.
And you start to get sucked towards the moor.
Alright, so now, does Kilquato get an action for every person who fails the check, or one at the end on someone who fails the check?
Against everyone who fails.
Okay.
Because you're running away from him, essentially.
Right, so if
but absent of that, he doesn't get to do anything.
Right. So what I'm asking is, because you've mentioned that I could deliberately fail my check and try and shake him, is that for future rounds to help him?
No, you can see him.
Yep.
If you want to go up and whack him on the nose with a lead pipe, you're welcome to do so.
Yeah.
Or in your case, a wrench.
Because I want to find out if... Because that was going to be my action, was to try and pummel him, but I don't know if that occurs before or after he attacks Doctor Strange.
Well, you've got the higher initiative card.
Okay, sweet.
So if you want to go... you need to make me an opposed agility check against Kilquato.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To see whether you interrupt him before or after.
Okay, I crit fumble.
Okay, which will be a failure anyway.
Yeah.
Even if he rolls ones as well.
Yeah. Yes, but I don't want to spend my only fate point on an attempt to pummel Kilquato.
Okay, so, yes, theoretically, in practice...
It's not this round. Yep,
in practice, you are in the wrong position.
Yep. Okay, so whatever was happening with the moor happens.
Yep, so Doctor Strange, Kilquato endeavours to absorb. No, he doesn't. He merely endeavours to bite you with this gigantic moor. As you try to swim across the water, you're pulled back in towards it, and it's the Nash, 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 Nash is the... And that would be a 5 versus your parry.
Yeah.
Hits you.
Yeah.
What's your parry?
4.
Yeah, yep.
Mm. I'm an old lady, okay?
Yes, but we're trying to find out how much by.
Oh dear.
That's sad.
No, I think he's going to be
sad.
I think he gets,
be
he gets stuck
sad.
Between his teeth.
That's 7 versus your toughness.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, well, I get shaken.
Yes, it's a crocodile the size of a building, Susan. It could kill you in one bite.
I know.
You, are, no, it can't. You swim out of its jaws as they gnash together and smash down on you, but merely bruising you as opposed to impaling you on the jaws and things.
Yeah. Like I just put a figurine there.
Hand out minis to people.
Yeah. Good idea.
No problem with water.
That's not my mini. Where is my one?
You are the... There we go. Surprisingly young and attractive Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I love how I've always introduced you.
Atumara. Well, it's the fact that there's no minis for old woman at all.
Yeah.
And there's Thief Jonathan.
They're never more appropriate than today. Look at that big sack. That's a sleeping bag with a ruby in it. That is.
No, that's not big enough.
The ruby's all right,
bigger
so,
than that.
Shaken dragon.
Doctor Strange gets clawed by Tom, endeavours to escape.
Yeah, pulled
and
into the mouth and mashed a bit.
And then
spat out the other side and is now sort of lying and going, ugh.
Alright. Pete is going to draw his wrench.
Yep.
And make a spoiling attack on Quil Quarto. Is that at a -2 because I may not have had... I probably wouldn't have had the wrench out because I...
I think you would have. There's a cat there and you would have...
No,
oh, but I wasn't going to hit the cat with the wrench.
Just the sleeping bag.
And I had just sort of swum, waited.
Yeah, that's true, but we're in cinematic chase time,
so I have
no problem with you pull your wrench out, you turn around into the water.
Yeah, so basically I'm endeavouring to swim past Quil Quarto, but not so much in an escape way as a swim into the water and distract him from Doctor Strange by hitting him in the face kind of way.
So,
and I do have a club here.
Yep. So as you endeavour to do so, your club is basically you have to dive into the water to get to to fight him. And you are getting whirled around and smashed in the water. It's making it more difficult to get the blow off in the first place. So it's fighting at -2.
Okay.
Before you roll it, however, it is a gigantic scaled crocodile, so you may or may not want to make called shots against it.
God,
taking
please,
penalties
right.
to your fighting to increase your damage, basically.
Right.
Because it's quite obviously got armour on.
Aim for his other eye.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Make him blind.
What's the penalty on a called shot?
Depends on what you're aiming for.
It's not tremendously useful.
No. That provides me with no information I didn't already have.
Right. -4 to hit, +4 to damage, or -2 to hit, +2 to damage.
Right. I will called shot aim for an eye at the -2 variant.
If you want the eye, it's the -4 one.
Okay.
That's hitting him in a small target as opposed to hitting him
All right, I will
whatever.
Endeavour to hit him in a vulnerable bit of scale.
Yep.
For a -2.
Okay, and then...
Hang on, will I? That's a -4 to hit. I may have a D10, but that really reduces my chances of actually connecting.
And then a +2 to hit, because he's enormous.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, in that case, it's on your -2 to hit.
Yep.
Net, so I'll go with it. And alas, I will miss entirely.
You swing the wrench out, and just as you're about to connect, the water carries you off past him.
Yep, and then Quil Quarto gets a shot on me because I chose to attack him.
Yep, you are flailing in the water instead of running, essentially. In no world will that hit you.
No problem.
You spin through the water and hear splash, and water goes everywhere behind you.
Okay, and Mara.
Why is this looking like a scene from Jumanji in my head?
Super magic Jumanji is pretty much what I'm going for here. So
athletics check to escape the room.
Yep. So athletics check.
Mara's small legs are faster than an old lady's.
13.
Okay. Yeah. You sprint out of the... You turn and basically...
Yank the lever,
bolt through the door, back into the room full of pillars.
Yeah.
Getting a good head start here.
But she was right by the door anyway.
I'm not sure how we want to keep track of this, but you're basically now on a +2 to your next action, i.e. you have a head start.
Cool. Well, shall I...
I'll just... Write it down.
Oh, let me get a bit of scrap paper and we can track...
Or even just those
initiative
tokens
tracker.
If they're there.
Yeah, the glass tokens will be good.
Chest tokens.
Okay.
Because it's always going to be the same one, either you're a better head or not.
Two tokens, please. Okay, two.
Yeah, it represents a plus two bonus.
Yeah.
One token, plus two bonus. Okay. Mara begins escaping the temple, clearing the way for the rest of us. I presume that when she pulls the lever, she finds that there's some way to cross her back across the room of pillars without having to negate the traps.
You pull the lever, the stone opens again, and you run through onto the stone platform on the other side.
Cool. It works. It's all good.
Okay.
I can give you the next round thing, but it'll make more sense when you get there.
No, that's all right. That's fine.
Okay.
Mari goes through the door and disappears out of this room.
I'm only at the balcony part.
We don't need to keep track of where everyone is specifically. It's the more abstract.
Okay.
Stuff is happening.
Okay, no worries.
Jonathan, you're up on top of the statue, giant ruby in your arms.
I'm jumping into the water and leaving.
Yep. So this is an athletics check. It's an athletics check at minus one because you have this enormous ruby.
Yep.
Then it's at another minus two because your penalty for your club is you're so high up and you've got to dive in, and you can't dive in at the nice edges because then you'll crash your head into the stone and die. So you need to go straight for the middle and past Kilquato.
Nope.
What did you get?
Double one.
Oh, I'm sure you don't
want to
re-roll it.
That's got to be, as Kilquato opens his mouth, you go straight down the moor.
Okay.
She's got no blues.
Yep.
Alright,
okay,
do you want?
Right.
Can you pass
no,
the one
happen.
As a blue?
No, I don't have any reds to boost up.
So, Jonathan, that's got to be as Kilquato opens his mouth to eat Pete, because Pete's coming past this way. You leap, and just as you're leaping, Pete swims in front of him, and Kilquato turns and opens his mouth, and it's, oh shit!
Yep.
You're fast. Kilquato gets a free shot on you.
Bloody hell.
I'll laugh my ass off if he manages to miss you.
I'll laugh my ass off.
I'm giving him a bonus to hit because of your fumble, basically, because you're jumping into his mouth. I would think a 7 would hit your parry.
Yeah, only just one.
Alright, so I'll point out to everyone, Kilquato's stats are bad this round. Jared said he's still mini Kilquato. His stats will get better every round.
Yeah,
don't
that's why I'm running.
That's why I'm running as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to run.
As the guy who has to be last man out, I would appreciate it if some of you the people would get improve your running ability.
Versus your toughness.
Oof.
My toughness is 6, so it's
shaken in a raise.
So shaken in one wound.
Yep.
Unless you want to make a soak roll.
I probably should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah, because you're as bigger as that, you better use spirit.
So, before you make the soak roll, we see you leap down straight into Kilquato's mouth and the jaws shut.
Yeah.
And then you make the soak roll and we see what happens next.
Yay!
Oh, that was a good time to roll an explosion. Success with a rage, not shaken, not wounded. Because it's the not shaken as much as anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you pry his mouth open with the ruby.
Since the mouth is so snaggletooth, you actually get between his teeth.
Well, it's your play, Jonathan. How does Jonathan wiggle his way out of this one?
I've also got one of the random elongated crocodile teeth.
Yep.
So I'm using that to hit at some of his crocodile teeth.
In the nice sensitive gum. The jaw shuts for a moment. There's the dun-dun sting of music as Jonathan is obviously dead. And then we see Kilquato go, and roar with pain as we see Jonathan, both hands hanging off this crocodile tooth that he's jammed into the upper gum. You go flying up into the air as he flings his mouth open and go, and less swim so much as fly across the room, crash down on the stone landing and roll up going,
nice.
See, now I'm just imagining the goofy yell as you fly across the room.
Yeah. And that is round one.
Yay.
Everyone is now out of that room. Doctor Strange is staggering as she goes.
Okay, cinematically speaking, does Pete sort of swim up to her and start sort of towing her out as she tries to hold on to Tom? Or?
No, so Mara just sprints out.
Yep.
Jonathan jumps into Kilquato's mouth and gets thrown out. All part of his master plan, no doubt. Doctor Strange gets sucked into Kilquato's jaws and mashed a bit. then sort of swims her way out and pulls herself up. She's looking shaky and slightly out of it, but she is still moving.
Yep, and I'm clutching Tom frantically.
Yeah.
And Pete, you take a wild swing at Kilquato as you go past, giving him the chance to snap at you.
Yep.
And then pull yourself out the other side of the pool as the water is round. So no matter what, you're moving on to the next thing.
Okay, cool.
Unless you get knocked out, at which point you need other people to help you.
Yep.
Okay, we go to round two.
Yep. And don't forget you are a minus one to all these athletics checks.
Yeah, anything that's agility or strength based, which will be athletics, jumping, sneaking, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that's just not good at all.
All right. And if we want to go in the same order, Mara, you run through, you realise that you're now in the third trap, the pillar room. You realise that there's still no immediately obvious safe way to cross. Pulling that lever hasn't, say, put a giant plank between the stones or anything like that. But there's no signs of anything else happening. There's no clicking noises. There's no darts flying across the room. The pillars aren't swaying. They're just there, slightly tilted and off.
Hmm.
So you are still going to have to jump your way from pillar to pillar to pillar, which is an agility check. But the only reason this is challenging is the giant crocodile chasing you. You're under time pressure. Rather than it's copiously hard to jump from one thing to the other.
Cool.
So the traps are now basically inactive, but the rooms are still there and still have innate hazards in them.
Okay, agility.
At plus two, remember?
Athletics plus two. Which I desperately needed, so that's a five.
Yeah. So you leap from pillar to pillar as... and behind everyone... You hear several loud splashing noises. We see stones falling off the pillar and falling off the ceiling of the temple and splashing into the thing. And the temple shakes as Kilquato expands a bit more. There's smashing noises and bits of the wall behind you are just ripped out, the stone being thrown aside. The whole temple is starting to collapse as Kilquato starts ripping his way through the walls to get at you.
I'm so glad I took photographs.
And Mara leaps across the pillar room.
Woohoo!
Reaches the other side.
Still in the lead.
Doctor Strange.
No.
Fighting Tom claws at you.
Yeah.
Make me an opposed fighting check.
How's that, though? Be gentle, I'm an old lady.
Posing a difficulty of...
I got a four.
Negative one.
I don't think the cat fell.
So that's a success.
Yep.
I got it.
Yep. It's an obstacle to you because you're going to have to repeatedly do this, but he's a cat.
Okay, so it's not a big deal as long as I don't get double ones.
Or unless he gets a big string of explosions, which is quite possible.
Okay, yeah, sure. That makes sense.
You're running the risk at any point that Tom will freak out and claw the bejesus out of you or something in that neighborhood. Mm. But it's you, action scientist, versus a cat. So...
Yeah. So that's a success with the race, isn't it?
I again.
It's literally as long as she's holding Tom, he's going to attack her every round.
Yeah.
It's just whether she fends him off or not.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of, as someone who's tried to restrain a cat, you know, holding a cat in your arms that's trying to claw you out is not an interesting
challenge.
On the other hand, are you a veteran level pulp hero?
That is quite true.
I think the world of you. But
I concur. I couldn't find a giant crocodile.
Okay. And with Tom holding Tom off, you're going to try and leap from pillar to pillar to pillar.
Well, I'll try my best to...
Use your amazing agility.
Yeah, you're
shaken though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so for starters, try and unshake.
Spirit, I mean.
Do not succeed, you still keep going, but you're at minus two to everything this round. Because you are stuttering and shaking.
I got a five.
Yay! Yeah,
so you unshake.
Yeah. Minus two.
This is
cinematic time.
Okay.
Unshake.
So you unshake.
Stand up the strange.
And now you can act.
Yay.
So now I'm athletics, then?
Yep.
Agility.
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 Okay.
It's a matter of balance.
It's the same. Okay, so four.
Yay.
Oh, five.
Yes.
Is it plus one?
Yes. You feel strangely lucky as you jump from pillar to pillar.
Well,
you're always landing on the right one.
Yeah, but I'm still in the lead as I understand it.
You succeeded with a race last time. You didn't succeed with a race this time. You barely succeeded. That was the success with the race that got you the plus two.
Okay. Doctor Strange leaps from pillar to pillar. From behind you and really drowned out in your arms. Jonathan.
Just make the agility check at a minus one, but you have more agility than the rest of the party by miles.
Yeah, I can see a five there, so.
You leap, there's the rattle, 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 rattle as the eye goes around the room. You balance, overbalance for half a moment, and you pinion and you realise you could drop the ruby and it would be easier. And you look behind you and the jaws are closing and the monster is crashing its
this
way across the
moment.
No, it is for the night.
It really is.
You hold on to the ruby and leap from pillar to pillar and cross the room. Pete.
If he doesn't lose this thing, we're going to have to try and carry it out of fucking hand.
Hey,
you can't
expect a little girl to carry it.
I will carry it.
Pete, as you're at the back...
Yep.
Kilquaku is coming in right behind
this
you, and at this point smashes straight through the solid stone wall of the temple behind you, smashing the boulder aside. Boulders are raining down on him and do actually seem to be hurting him. He clearly can be damaged. He's making little noises. However, unfortunately, he smacks several of these things forward, and they bowl across and smash down a few of the pillars you were going to jump on.
Yep.
So now it is your agility check.
And a minus two.
And a minus two for having a club.
Yep.
Drama.
Okay, but I can see that my party have all crossed the pillar, so
yep.
Pete is going to just jump and not fail his check to take a swing at Kilquato. However...
he's going to fail his check anyway.
He's going to fail his check anyway.
Oh, no.
I got a zero, in fact, because I rolled a two and then I had a minus two.
Okay, Kilquato hits you with a raise.
Oh, well, that's just lucky.
I assume your parry is not 18, so I don't need to keep rolling.
No.
And it gets his extra d6 of damage.
He's bigger now.
No, for getting a raise on you.
Ah, right.
It's, I'm going to be annoyed if this doesn't bother you. That is an 11.
I'm shaking.
So
by the giant crocodile.
You are dashing across the room, and at this point Kilquato turns slightly and sweeps his enormous tail across the room and just smash, 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 bowls these pillars down, hits you with the edge of the tail, throws you forward across the room, and you smack your head on the stone, and you're now dazed as well.
Yep.
Okay.
I do love the fact that it takes a giant crocodile god to even daze you.
Just to shake you.
And he rolled a race.
He doesn't quite get up to Yes, the one on his extra d6 made all the difference.
Hey, it's now a club.
That's a nice change.
Okay. And you bowl through into the next room. By now, a couple of things are obvious. This whole temple is coming down.
Yeah.
If things keep going as it is, Kilquato is going to destroy every structural support and bring the whole thing down on himself. It's a big crocodile, but it's not that big.
Oh, good.
It's not going to survive an entire ziggurat collapsing on its head. Now, of course, the smart thing to do would be to stop, but it wants what you have, and it's a spirit of hunger. So it can't stop.
Also, I do think, you know, we didn't find any of the villagers on the way in. So even if the ziggurat collapses on Kilquato, we probably are going to have to concern ourselves with the villagers on the way out. They may notice we destroyed their ancient temple.
Plus there's the trio to concern ourselves with as well.
Yes, we'll have to get them out.
Mara again yanks the lever.
Yep.
As she...
I like how you always first.
...flies through into the next room. And what you will see, this is the poison room.
Ah, yes.
And what is in here is there was that layer of cloud of stuff on the floor. The room has been massively, seriously disturbed at this point by all the chunks falling off the roof and things collapsing in on itself. The fans do appear to be going to some extent. There's a bunch of sick noises coming out of them. The actual poison is of no concern to you because you are inoculated against it. If you came back here 6 months later, you might have a problem, but a couple of hours, no sweat.
Which is good, because that poison was freaking horrible.
The problem is that the room is now thick with this blinding powder. Not as in it's getting in your eye, as in blinding you, as in it's just a big white cloud everywhere in front of you.
We can't see the door.
Walking into fog.
This one's notice checks.
Okay. Yeah. Alright, so starting with Doctor Strange.
Starting with Doctor Strange.
First
and
fighting
you find
check.
Your way out of the room. Yes, first you have to fight Tom again. Go, Tom, go! Explosion. Damn it!
3, 4,
12, 13, 14. Versus 8.
14.
So Tom gets savage this time. He goes, right for your eyes, and you just push him off. This has got to be because the Animal Association won't let us film with an actual animal. This is Doctor Strange wrestling a puppet as she animatically shakes it around, trying to make
actual
it
rape representation of Thomas in this
yes.
particular case.
But what I think that fighting chick represents is, like, you know, you love him dearly and he's husband and so on, but you have been looking after what's essentially a cat for like a year
yeah.
now. You know better than to let a cat's claws right
close
to your
now
eyes.
Now I'm seeing the camera cuts to Tom where it's the actual cat going
yeah.
like this at the camera. And then because we can't have the actress assaulting an actual cat, we then cut to Doctor Strange wrestling a puppet.
Yeah.
We cut back to Tom going at the camera. We cut back to the puppet wrestling. Some guy off screen is shaking the puppet cat.
In a couple of decades' time, the Mystery Science Theatre guys are going to be mocking this.
It's relying on your sense of direction and what limited vision you can get, you make your way to the other side of the room.
Oh, I don't need to do a notice check?
Yeah, notice check.
Oh, sorry, that was your fighting check. Yes, you do need to make a notice check.
Yeah.
To rely on your vision and blah, 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 blah.
Four.
Five. You make your way to the other side of the room.
Yay! Now it's Jonathan and his giant ruby, but the notice
you
check
you are not penalised on this one, because the ruby doesn't make it harder to see things.
Turn over the good cards.
Five.
You also cross the room.
Oh my goodness, I'm not lost. And I'm not with a club.
And you rolled well. What's going on here?
10. Hmm?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Running?
Crossing.
Running.
Noticing.
You cross the room very rapidly. You spent the most time looking at all the things in here, trying
yeah.
to follow everyone's direction and things, so you know exactly where to run through.
Yeah.
And get out the other side. You can have a token for your next one.
Yay.
Plays on that. Right. And Mara the same.
And flip. And that's a 5.
And we all make it.
Yay!
We are not eaten by a giant crocodile this round. This running is good.
Yeah.
I like notice checks better than running checks.
Kilquato smashes into the room behind you and roars at you and blows all the powder forward. If you weren't already inoculated against it, i.e. if you'd gotten out of the room some other way, you'd
yeah.
be having some real problems here.
Yeah.
As it is, it's in your face, it's all over your hair, you're poisoned several dozen times.
Yeah.
And Kilquato rampages behind you and the whole temple shakes and there's boom and we see things crashing and we shake the camera a bit as everyone runs sideways. And we move on to the next round.
Yay!
Got to be jokers in here as well as clubs somewhere.
There we go.
But not for Pete and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. All clubs, all the time.
I was really hoping for a joker for this room.
So, Pete, you are shaken, unshaken?
I'm unshaken.
You're fine again?
Yep.
Did you shake off the shaking last time?
Oh, hold on. Sorry. Can I retroactively make a spirit check?
Yes, you can.
I am unshaken. I shook off my spirit last round. Thanks for reminding me, sweetheart. I got confused.
So you stagger into this next room, and this was the trap that you had to do all the lever, pulling
yep.
the lever out with mighty strength while mummy crocodiles ate you.
Yep, I do remember.
And sand filled the room. When you run in, the room is still about a quarter filled with sand. This trap is also clearly broken from the damage. There's smashing noise and things. And you can see a lot of the holes seem to have been smashed open now, and there are several things moving under the sand.
It's still got mummy crocodiles.
And as you try and cross the room, another much littler mummified crocodile goes blah, out
yeah.
of the sand towards you.
So I think you're going to be at minus 3.
This is fighting chicks around the room.
Okay,
yeah, this is not the room.
Because
right. you're not really engaging these crocodiles so much as just bashing them out of the way.
Alright, so I think Pete's at a minus 2 penalty.
Yep, multiple crocodiles.
Yep, because he's the first man into the
yep.
room and the crocodiles were
and
dodging
we see
against
sand,
the door.
The sand trails just move in on you. And
on the
it
other,
starts surging up against you.
On the other hand, Peters gets the first vantage point
yeah.
to fight.
Yeah, I mean, that one's less you're better at fighting crocodiles and more you're across the room faster than Kilquato, which is what this is about.
Yeah, so fighting check plus 0 because I've got a plus 2 and a minus 2.
Yep.
And that is a 6.
Okay, so you club and beat away on the crocodiles. Seven, actually, because I'll let you use a trademark weapon.
Oh, yes. Yes, very true. Yep.
You beat away at the crocodiles as you run across the room.
Yep. The Pete eats mummified crocodiles for breakfast. Not literally, but it's not really going to
fight your way across.
Yep.
Okay.
Mara.
There is much less better at fighting.
Yep.
Well, wow. This was a good time to roll that.
Well, oh, yes.
Explosion.
That's a 10.
That's a plus 2 to your next roll.
In your case, I see less of you punching the crocodiles in the eyes.
I'm evading.
And more as the crocodile surges up, you kind of run up its nose and sort of kick it in the top of the jaw as you jump over it.
No, remember what Mara did to the crocodiles last time. Mara does her seal impression.
Yes.
And the crocodiles keep going. She's all over the room, and the crocodiles keep going for where she isn't. And by the time they work it out, she's across the other side.
Oh, they never work it out. I forgot about the seal impression. Thanks for that.
And the Doctor Strange.
Okay, so...
Fighting check.
Fighting
Tom.
Husband. Stop fighting me. 4. No, 5.
He's an 8 thus far. 9. Tom succeeds with a raise. And claws the shit out of you with all of his mighty cat strength.
This may not exceed your toughness.
That would surprise me if it doesn't.
He has got a raise on it, though, so he's getting the extra d6.
That'll help.
Yeah. Plus he has claws. Claws help. He's practically armed.
So, you can see he's going to claw the crap out of you, and... You totally have the option to drop him,
but
of course you don't, because you took the container before that actually removes that option from you. So Tom is not really trying to grapple you here, he's just trying to abuse the hell out of you.
Mm. He's not in his right mind.
I know.
And you could fix him, but you know, we want to escape the collapsing
crocodile
monster, but the crocodile monster.
Oh dear.
So Tom is not necessarily stronger than he is normally, but he's much more feral than he is normally. He's fighting a lot harder, so he is getting a small bonus to his damage from being possessed here, because an ordinary cat is
not possessed. He's just crazy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But that's where his bonus is coming from, as opposed to innate super strength given to him by this or whatever. And you go to cross this room, you see these crocodiles are in here, you turn to, you start looking at them and taking your eyes off Tom, and Tom goes apeshit and jumps at your face and claws the bejesus out of you, and that's 12 versus your toughness.
Oh, God.
So you rolled a raise and then got explosions.
So my toughness is 5.
So it's only one raise.
That is shaken and a wound.
Unless you want to soak it.
As Tom wounds you in the face.
I think I'm going to have to soak this.
Are you sure?
I can't have any wounds. I'm going to die in here if I have wounds.
True enough.
We are nearly all
killed,
way through.
Killed by your own hindrance.
Yeah, killed by my cat. So what is what do I soak with?
Vigor.
Vigor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, doesn't totally suck. She's not going to do
well. I got a 5, so that's a 6. No, it's just a 5.
Yep.
But
so that's enough.
Yeah. Soak one wound, because you don't take a wound, you're not shaking.
Tom leaps at your face and claws at you, and puts several nice scratches in there, and you, ow! You know, keep going despite this, and fend him off again.
I will give him a quick kiss on the forehead. No, Thomas, not now. Rugby ball stands.
what I can see is, Tom, the last time we had to escape from a collapsing temple together, you were a lot more help.
And
turns cat around. Focus on the crocodile.
Then you are making an opposed fighting check to
another
get across.
One.
To get across. Sorry, not opposed fighting check. A fighting check to get across the room through the mummified crocodile.
I'm having to fight everything. I'm an old lady.
Yes,
5, 6.
Okay. So, you
sick
have
your
the,
cat on
you have the opposite.
Yeah, I turned the cat around.
You
yeah,
have the opposite
like
problem
that.
Of Pete. The crocodiles just seem to largely go past you. You're getting less of them rather than more of them, because that's your feather luck.
Yeah.
Plus, they're still trying to work out where Mark's seal are.
She's now left the room.
Jonathan.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You run into the room. carrying the gem.
Yep.
From behind you, you hear Pilquato's voice echoing in your mind and everyone's here. It's the same thing as, no, it's mine. It's all mine. Everything is mine. The world is mine. I must have it all. And you swear for a moment you could feel his hot breath on the back of your neck. You turn slightly to check on where he is. Trip as you come into the room. Roll. The gem disappears beneath the sand.
Yep.
You scramble for several moments, scrambling to get it back, and do indeed pull it out. But that, of course, has delayed you, and all the crocodile mummies across the room are now closing in on you. So you are at a -1 for carrying the gem, a -2 for your club, that's lots of crocodile mummies, and another -2 because you are phobic of mummies.
-5.
Rolling fighting at -5.
And it's not her good one, because that's you.
Okay, so far that's a 0.
I would just fail that and let Quilquato bite you.
Yeah. Your chances of success are so low.
And you are trying to hold the gem up with both hands and aim your gun at the same time, going bam, bam, bam at the crocodiles as you run across the room.
And Jonathan is so focused on his mummy combat that he pays absolutely no attention to the giant crocodile coming in from behind.
And from behind you we hear the dun, dun.
This is such a dramatic adventure. Maybe you're fighting off mummy crocodiles while you hold a giant gem.
As what you are now seeing, relative size-wise to you, is you're just seeing the jaws of Quilquato now. His head has disappeared behind the size of his jaws relative to you. It's basically, it started as a huge size mini versus you. It's now getting to this colossal red dragon size.
Oh, yeah.
And just going...
kills Jonathan.
27 to hit you will hit you with a blade.
Yeah,
pretty
simply. Oh my god.
Yeah, you're not allowed to roll those dice anymore.
Got bad news about your giant ruby.
19 versus your toughness.
It will hit quite a lot because my toughness is 6.
Yep. So that's hit, raise it. Raise it 10, raise it 14, raise it 18. So that's shaken in 3 quarters.
Still not out.
Not dead.
But
I would make it so cool.
As the gigantic murderous crocodile chews down on you.
No.
And you crit fumble the side crocodile.
Okay, at that point you're screwed. But you're still conscious.
Yeah.
And horrible penalties to do anything but conscious.
So... Quilquato smashes his jaws down on you, and this time you get the giant crocodile tooth just impales you.
Yeah.
Oh god! Oh, that's bad! And you slide
stagger into the next room holding a giant ruby and bleeding.
Staggering and bleeding. He looks like he's going to collapse any moment, but he's still holding the ruby of the eye of Quilquato.
And we're heading for the last room, which
now
is the mouth
deep
analysis.
Of the Joker.
You rush out towards the room. Lara, you pull the lever, and as you're doing so, you won't hear this over the roar and gnashing and collapsing temple and everything. But as the door opens, you hear voices and argument. I do not care about the eye. It is not worth the race. We must get out of here, Herr Fogg. I want it, and it's in there somewhere. We're not leaving. The temple is collapsing, everyone else says. There's no choice here. We must find whoever untied us and help get them out of here. We have to get out of here quickly. Look, I'm telling you, and then, BOOM! As everyone fogs. In fact, we see the camera pans to police fog. I'm telling you, there is nothing on earth that would make me leave this temple without the eye. Turns around. We should leave now.
That's quite unsettling.
Oh dear.
And you run out.
Nice to see you have some sense.
Fogg, Maxwell and Elsa essentially join in this chase as well, because they're by no stretch of the imagination going to have the time to sit down and have a nice civilized debate with you about, you know, who freed them and who's getting the eye and what's going on here. Giant crocodile still chasing him. And it is rushing through. And Kilquato is smashing. The temple is coming down around your ears. There are huge chunks of stone raining down on everyone here. Everyone is starting to get tinked and bruised and injured. Dust is thick in the air. The whole place is shaking wildly. It is going to collapse at any moment. And you sprint for the exit. There is only one obstacle between
the
you
door.
And freedom.
Door.
The giant boulder at the door.
This
is not a group check.
This is
not a singular check, because you've only got one problem here. As soon as someone opens the boulder, you can all go through. We will deal for initiative again for the sole purpose of jokers and clubs and things.
Yep.
Yay.
Good, not a club. I need a good result here.
And Elsa looks tremendously confused as you burst through the door. And she says, Pete. She says, yeah, she will be Pete at this point. Pete, what are you? How are you? Never mind, we have to get out of here.
There's the girl. Let me get the boulder.
Run. And let's see here. Everybody is going to try and pile around this boulder and see if they can try and move it, I imagine, because there's one big obstacle in your way.
Yeah.
So it's effectively going to be one person, presumably Pete.
I hope Elsa Maxwell and Fogg have the sense to let me be the lead player on this one.
And everyone else cooperating. Now, anyone else who wants to can cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
Failing this will not make it worse, but the more people that roll, the more you run the risk of crit fumbling.
Yeah.
People that have clubs rolling at negatives will make it worse. You're in the wrong place and actively pushing, and you should be pulling, or standing in a position of bad leverage or whatever.
I would imagine Jonathan has both handful of giant ruby and is slightly preoccupied, bleeding to death.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is wrestling against
He's at -4 to assist you with his strength check here from his copious wounds and the ruby penalty.
On the other hand, obviously, no one's strong like 11-year-olds. Myra can make an assist check.
Hey, don't count out the old lady.
No, she's really not her enough.
Elsa immediately charges after you, moments behind you, and grabs the boulder and starts pushing as well. Phileas moves up, looks distasteful, and sort of takes a handkerchief out, wipes his hands. Time for sweat. He will attempt to help you as well.
Okay. What about Maxwell?
No, he does not attempt to assist you for whatever reason. Yep. Either he doesn't want to, he refuses to, or he recognises that his assistance would be possibly more hindrance than help.
Okay, so I think Doctor Strange makes a fighting check to see if Tom successfully kills her.
Yep.
Thank you.
At -2 at this point, because you have to stop running, so you're no longer jogging Tom up and down. He's got a reasonably clear shot at you, because that's your club still.
Oh.
Yeah, they both explode.
So that's a 4 and a 1.
Best 5 armor.
I'm doing...
Yep.
That's
you've
4
succeeded.
And 1 is... That's 6. So that's 8, 9. Oh no, sorry, those are all -2.
Okay. You're opposing 0.
Yeah.
You, with nothing else to do, you hold the cat well away from your face.
In fact, can she takes a fighting check from Tom. Can she spend her action wrapping the cat? Because she's not fighting the boulder.
Yeah, she's not running.
Yeah, and I can't go anywhere at the moment.
At a -2 penalty, sure, for the Joker, but can she make a wrap the cat check?
Yes, actually, because you're not doing anything else.
Yeah. Sweet.
So yes, that is another opposed fighting check.
Oh, okay. Because
Tom resists being being stuffed in a sleeping bag, obviously.
No, that's +1, so that's 5. Oh,
still
am I still doing...
Still at -2.
Oh, okay, so I don't make that then.
Well, it's a 3, but it's an opposed check, so it depends on what Tom rolls.
Opposed. The rollable D4 coming up on the blank side both times. That is a 3 for this one.
So that was a 3.
Okay. So you do not get him in the sleeping bag.
Barely.
You basically wrestle him into the start of it, and then he claws a hole in the very top of it and pops back out again.
Oh, that's my Tom. Tenacious as always.
That's my sleeping bag.
All right. We may need another sleeping bag.
Alright, and Jonathan attempts to unshake.
Yep.
That's his round. And does not do so.
Okay.
Do you want to have Betty to uncheck?
No, it's okay.
Not at this stage, we don't. And Mara, make me an strength assist.
We'll do all the assistances first and then the main one.
Try not to crit fumble.
Now you cast it.
Good job. Wow. I was just kidding 16. About little girls being the strongest of all. Okay, that's like a plus four from Mara, isn't it? She got three raises.
So, Mara, you watched Pete do it the last time, and you're a scientist. You know the limits of your own strength, which is, what, a D4?
Yep.
So, it's not a matter of strength. It's a matter of leverage. Hmm. You just need to get under it in the right angle and use yourself as a fulcrum so Pete can maximize his strength.
I actually see her, like, deep scrambling up to the top and standing on it.
As Aristotle said, give Pete a lever big enough and he will move the world.
I'm not using a little girl as a lever.
You are now.
How about you climb up and hang on just the right angle to start it rolling?
Or you found the right size chunk of long chunk of stone.
That's perfect.
That's falling off the roof.
You jam a chunk of stone in there.
Either way, at 16, that's a success in three raises.
Yep.
So I think that's like a plus three.
I believe it's a plus four.
Ooh.
Either a plus three or a plus four.
A 16 is four successes, so
yep.
It's a plus four.
Nice.
Yay.
So that's already probably a success.
Got to be one answer to this one, which is Elsa, Pete, you're standing on it, legs braced,
yeah.
Like this. Elsa slides in under you,
yeah.
between you and the boulder, also pushing on it, a very familiar pose.
Yeah.
Is starting to lend some strength to it when Felice goes, stand aside, dear girl, this is a man's job, yanks her out of the way, and starts pushing on it himself.
He crit fumbled, didn't he?
No, she provides no assistance.
Right.
Because she just fails to net any successes.
Yeah.
He actually does assist you.
Okay.
But he does so by moving Elsa out of the way, because that's why she doesn't help you.
Yeah.
He pushes her out of the way and starts pushing himself and makes these
Pete fans.
Noises have a plus one.
Yeah. Alright, I've got a plus five bonus, and Pete fantasizes he's pushing the boulder onto Phileas.
Keep in mind, Jonathan
is mentally there with you.
You're not just looking for a success here, because this is a big, heavy arse boulder.
What I'm seeing is you all thinking, this is a really big ruby. If I just dropped it on his head...
I don't want to drop my ruby on his head.
11.
It's a waste of a good
ruby. Yeah.
Okay, so, that's an 11.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Okay, so...
And I'm prepared to throw... I'm prepared to throw this at it and add an extra one.
Or I can do it.
Yeah, so but this is... Oh, you're good point. Because we're
you brace and heave. The boulder is quite definitely moving.
How about plus one to make it move faster?
Hang on, hang on. Put that little boulder again. So that is the door.
Oh my gosh, you got Phileas to start pushing on the boulder.
You made him do some physical labour.
This is probably the only time
bad.
He's done physical labour in his
given
life.
Given he's functionally immortal, we could leave him in the thing. We could distract Kuwata by shoving Phileas in his mouth.
He could chew him for the rest of the year.
It'd be like chewing gum.
So, you have pushed it open. You realise at this point there's resistance pushing back against you that wasn't there the last time. You actually think the temple's coming apart in such a way that you're now having to push it up as
well as
to the side. That said, all you need to do is move it, which you are definitely doing, and hold it for long enough for people to all pile out of here. Because what do you care if you drop it once you're through?
Yeah.
At the moment, you have enough to get yourself and three other people out. The problem is you have three extra people with you.
Okay, so how much more am I looking for to get the... so I've got... How much more to get everybody out?
You need to hit a 14 to get everyone out.
Okay, so I'm going to use my... The blue does better than a...
Blue gives you a D6, and if it's a red, it gives me a Benny as well.
Yeah, so, but it gives me an... I can roll an extra D6,
right?
It gives
you an extra D6, yes.
Yep.
So you're at 11. 12, 13.
And now I want
14.
It.
Okay, so you...
But you can see why I wanted to do it in that order.
Yes.
You heave the boulder aside. At this point, you are pushing it on an upward sort of 45-degree angle. And straining away.
Yeah.
You know, fog is straining next to you. And
Mara's helping.
Well, what are you bloody sitting around for? Go! 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 telling everyone to go.
Yep, so I think Jonathan and Doctor Strange duck out.
Yep, yep. As does Maxwell, unsurprisingly.
Carrying their heavy burden. And then Pete sees that Elsa hasn't made it out, puts on a bit of an extra heave,
yep.
And Elsa and Fogg duck out.
Yep, leaving Pete the last man holding the boulder.
Yep.
And as you do this, you hear, mine, it's all mine! And now you are getting that mad cacophony of voices in your head. Nothing personally aimed at you. It's just 1,000 voices at once, all screaming some variant of, mine, I want it, it has to be mine, I want it all, I want it forever, I won't let it go! And Kilquato's head bursts out of the temple, shattering bits of the wall, jams his head through, and that's when you let the boulder go, and it rolls down on top of him, smashes him in the remaining eye, crushes it shut.
Oh, can I, as I let it go, I say, sure, it's all yours. Let go of the boulder, step out of the temple.
The giant personified spirit of hunger gets squished by the boulder. That itself doesn't seem to have killed him. It's, the crocodile is still moving, and you can still hear the noises. And then there is the boom as the entire rest of the temple collapses in on him. Dust clouds and rubble go up from everything, and you are left with this twitching very front end of the jaw of the crocodile sticking out the front. Kilquato has fallen.
Yay!
And we are standing in an ancient village, the bronze emanation temple behind us.
Yep. And you're still not done with this challenge.
I didn't think
everyone's
so.
Cards back in again.
Yeah. And you've still got
to. Because now we've got to run away from Nathan.
Yes.
With Ogilvy.
Yep. Yeah, but I think while they'll be pissed that we've stolen their precious isle, they'll probably be more pissed that we destroyed their temple. Destroyed their temple. Oh, yeah, and we killed their god. I think that's probably going to be the top. Although it's entirely possible we only killed that manifestation of him.
We've also destroyed his only temple, though.
Yeah,
so that's
going
to hurt.
Yeah.
No, that, as you understand it, that was him.
Oh, okay, cool.
The
wow, good riddance. Rest in peace.
The energy is bound into the eye. The worship of it has manifested it in a physical body, this giant crocodile thing.
Yeah.
So, unless you politely give them their eye back and leave them for another 1,000 years to form a new god,
yeah.
He ain't coming back.
Sweet!
Technically, this elemental spirit of hunger still exists. It's just, you know...
formless.
Yeah. And worthless.
I feel kind of good about, you know,
yeah, I'm okay
part.
With that.
Murdering a god.
And you get
he
out...
He was an evil god.
And there is the... as everyone sighs and everything else. And, you know, we've made it out. We've killed Kilquato, thank god. And then you hear... flip-flop, pistol, big clock. Ah! Excellent. Now, dear boy, we've been in this position before.
I've got my pistol out already
And everyone stands around in a Mexican standoff.
And I will shoot him in the face. Mm-hmm. He's not getting my ruby.
And Elsa and Maxwell sort of start to pull on Fog a little bit. And Maxwell says, the villagers have heard that. They could not possibly have missed it if they were blind, deaf, and as ignorant as Americans.
I'm not American, I'm not ashamed.
We must get out of here.
Let's go now, and we can argue about the ruby later.
That's my legacy. That's going to make my name famous. Forever.
Nope.
Give me the eye. Get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
Oops. Jonathan's upset.
Elsa's sort of pulling slightly on Fog's arm. These two are Mexican standoffs against each other.
Not really.
Jared, can you see her?
Yep. And she says, we must get out of here. We have a helicopter. Surely we can agree we can all leave here and sort this out later. There's sort of grunting and sad looks from Jonathan and Fogg, who, you know, he eventually raises his pistol a little bit.
They both really want to shoot each other.
Yeah, they really do.
But Fogg, of course, has the advantage of, you know, not being able to
die. On some level, you know. Well, it's not pointless shooting him, because it will actually accomplish things, it just won't kill him.
Yeah, it'll smart.
And it'll slow him down.
Yeah, it will stop him.
Yeah.
But it won't kill him.
So we sabotaged his helicopter before
he
still got his butt.
Reluctantly raises his gun slightly.
as soon as his gun is away from, like, he puts it away?
No, no, he's doing this.
I think you're doing it at the same...
No.
Jonathan, John, we need to go.
Okay, yep, we can go. I've got my ruby, we can go. I don't give a crap about this.
Awkward shuffling up as well. So...
In the absence of John actually raising his gun, people stand between John's gun and Fogg.
Fogg, Elsa, and Maxwell, who in all fairness do actually look reasonably tired and wounded. They've taken a lot of wounds before. They are basically all at a wounded state.
Yeah.
And
if they want to take off in the helicopter without us, they're not going to have a lot of luck.
Elsa. I still count over 20 villages. We may be able to get out of here if we work together, but not alone. This is necessary. And Maxwell looks at her for a moment, and there's almost this moment of sort of telepathic communication with him, and then he repeats, "This is necessary."
Oh, nice! It works both ways.
come. Are you? She will look. Have you gotten any quieter since we last? Since our previous adventures? We will need to sneak out of here. This one's a stealth check.
Okay. Actually, I've been working on that.
Before you make it, however,
should be worried about Pete. Should be worried about the crazy cat lady with the crazy cat.
Yeah, at least Jonathan's really good at stealth, which will help counteract his horrible, terrible wounds.
And his heavy penalty for carrying a big heavy thing.
Jonathan's at a -4. What have you got to stealth? A D4?
D4.
Yeah, that's not going to work. But it's still better than it would be if you weren't trained. Which point should be at -2.
At least it's not -2, like added minus
okay.
two.
So, Elsa sort of hints that you will need... They'll be coming for the temple. We'll need to sneak through the village quickly. But they won't be expecting it. Surprise will be our advantage. Follow me. And you get one of her stunts. She has hush.
Oh, yes! Cool.
Oh, thank goodness!
Unsurprisingly, she will cover Fogg and Maxwell with her umbrella first.
Yeah.
That leaves two of you guys getting covered, and two of you not. You can sort out for yourselves which one.
Cover me, please.
All right. Well, I'm not. Pete says I have actually. I've been practicing with John. Pete is not getting covered. I have a Joker and D4 and stealth. I will manage on my own.
This is the same thing as previous. You will still get through the village. You're not going to get killed quite right here, but you are going to get tried.
I'd say you two.
Yeah, because Jonathan's at such a egregious penalty nearly being untrained, isn't that bad?
And
plus
you
you're
are
small
stuck.
And quiet anyway.
If you take that option, you are stuck accepting Elsa's role. You can't teamwork with her or anything. You're
yeah.
you're
no,
either doing
fine.
What she
I,
says.
I have a -2, a D4 -2, so I'm...
And a cat.
She has wounds, but
she
actually has.
Yeah. And Doctor Strange needs to make another Tom fighting check.
She needs to make another Tom fighting check.
+1 is 4.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't get a. Oh no, it's. This is
this
a lucky.
Still a challenge. We're still in the cluttered village.
Okay, so he will actually hook you on that one.
Okay.
As basically, you are finding this one a little more challenging because this is fighting him off as you sneak through the village.
Mm.
Because not only are you having to fend him off, you're having to do it quietly.
Mm.
Like you're trying to keep your hand over his mouth to stop the loud hissing noises, and of course he's biting your fingers as you do so. Tom makes another attack on you, not with a raise this time, sadly. For 2 damage!
I get
he bites
stretches.
Your fingers several times.
Aww.
Spirit check.
There we go.
Yep, even with your penalties, Jonathan objects.
And
yeah.
Doctor Strange, as you're getting about halfway through the village, Tom goes gentle in your arms again. His eyes seem to hit that red glow in his eyes, which could have just been a hideous trick of the light, but probably wasn't. Seems to have faded. He stopped biting your hand and starts licking it instead.
Oh, I go. Oh, Tom, give him a big hug and. On the forehead.
Now you get a sad paper tug across your
wounds. You're fine now, you're safe.
What happened? I was dreaming.
You were in a different world.
Someone was trying to take me away from you.
Oh,
that's what he's been seeing.
Oh, yes.
Here come some people to abduct you from your wife.
Oh, right.
They will never take you away from me again, I promise.
Poor little Tom.
Do you think she knows that the cat can't talk back? He says to Maxima. And we go to the various stealth chicks.
Right, so Pete, Elsa, Pete, and Mara.
Yep.
So Pete and Mara. Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to start spending like Elsa.
That's the good part. I love how we keep teaming up with the bad guys. It's excellent. Alright.
Yay.
Yeah, the
a
Joker,
pass.
Remember?
Yep. So Pete passes.
Mara passes.
Did you spend a fate point to reroll that? Or?
Nope.
No.
Well, you've got a minus two.
I do.
You're untrained in stealth.
Oh, son of a...
Yeah. Nobody wants to spend any points in stealth, so they remain bad at it.
Two of the party have a d4, thank you.
Also, we'll spend a blue and bring that up to a minimal success.
Okay.
Well,
she's got a lot of noisy people to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got her work cut out with Thomas. Mind you, Thomas is settled down now, so...
You could spend two whites and make that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You guys know what you're looking for at this point, so what would have previously escaped your notice is now reasonably seeable. She's giving everyone directions and doing the, you know, okay, go, 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 no, no, stop, shh, go quiet, everybody go low, etc., etc. Because you're expecting to see this to some degree, Maxwell particularly follows her directions extraordinarily well, to the point that if you're really looking at it, you'd think he almost moves before she makes the signals by half a second. He starts ducking, and then she goes does the down gesture. So yes, it does go both ways.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to spend two berries here, and I'm saying the reason that I was previously failing the role is we didn't have that kind of sign language in the future.
Yeah.
You just figured it out, did you?
Pretty much. Yeah.
you haven't got the SEAL Team movies or anything, so.
Yep.
And also Mara's right at the back and thus can barely see what Elsa's doing because she's not technically covered by Elsa. And Pete is actually in a completely going separately so he doesn't endanger the group.
Okay. And
there was a joker.
Yep.
Which means a shuffle.
You get about halfway through the village and then,
oh crap,
all around you hear lots of irate shouting in native tongues. To the rest of you, it's incomprehensible. To you, you hear, no, impossible, great Kilkato has fallen. The prisoners we sent inside the temple, they must have escaped. Find them, kill them all. And this entire village whipping itself into a murderous blood frenzy.
Yeah.
And me without death defiance.
Yep.
Jonathan.
Wait, that was only halfway through the village.
No, that's you have that halfway through the village they start getting whipped up and start actively looking for you.
I think at this point we drop stealth and run.
You make it out of the village.
Sweet.
Drop stealth and start bolting indeed. Yep. And you can hear this pursuit through the jungle. There's no question of notice checks to notice it.
Yep.
It sounds like dozens of irate natives chasing you through the jungle, shouting, beating on drums, waving weapons.
Yep.
There's the periodic as a blow dart goes long wide of you, shot at extreme range.
I think they may be taking us killing their god personally.
They said as such.
You all sprint for the helicopter.
Yay!
And people start piling into the helicopter, and now it's a question of getting it in the air and getting out of here before the fuselage of natives.
How long does it take to install a spark plug?
Well, given I know exactly where I took them out from, hopefully not very long.
I can help you with that if you like.
Would appreciate it, yeah.
Okay, so there are a couple of things here. Are you actually telling them that something's wrong with the helicopter?
Yes, because we're all working together at this point.
As we hit the helicopter, just give me a second to fix it, and Pete will dive at the engine and dig the spark plugs out.
Fog starts. As you start running at the clearing, Fog looks smug and says, "Well, as you can see, I've planned for every contingency. this thing is ready to fly and start stepping aboard.
Yep.
It will be once we got the spark plugs back in.
Just a sec. Pete fishes them out of there.
Rich! Okay. So, what this one is going to be, is this is a piloting check as the helicopter gets in the air and attempts to get out of here. It's a group check again.
Yep.
Somebody will have to take actions to actually repair the helicopter before this can be made.
He has to.
You do get a bonus to it because you sabotaged it. You know exactly what needs doing. It's just a question of doing it in time.
Yeah.
Whereas old Maxwell here would have a real problem because he's in a time crunch and doesn't know what's wrong with it.
Yep.
So people can repair it. People can assist with the piloting check. People can actually assist the piloting in other ways by, say, shooting off the side of the helicopter at the natives as they swarm in or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If you can construct a good way to garner assistance here, you're welcome to.
Yep.
As you're attempting to do this, the natives are pouring in from all directions, leaping onto the bar, onto the slide bars at the bottom of the helicopter, trying to climb their way in, shooting blow darts at you, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
Now, before you roll repair, what's your repair skill now?
D4 plus 1.
Okay, I've got D8. So maybe I should lead with my little hands.
Okay.
Tiny hands!
Trump-sized hands!
My assist check will be getting the spark plugs out of my bag, giving it to you, and craning the... I'll hold the bonnet up.
Sounds good.
And make a repair check at plus 2, because you know what exactly what the problem is.
There's a
10.
And I make the assist check, 11.
11.
Okay. So, you can do this in good time. You get the spark plugs in just as people are starting to dive towards the pilot's seat.
Nice.
Okay, so that's Pete and Mara's contribution. We get the helicopter working.
Yep.
There are numerous things I could do to assist piloting more, but for this round, I'm getting the helicopter working.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Jonathan, normally you would be the one driving things. Obviously, one of the trio of Fogg and Maxwell and Elsa must be able to pilot, or they wouldn't have been able to get the helicopter out here in the first place. But if your first instinct was to dive for the driver's seat, you might find that Fogg is also heading here and end up in another petty, pointless problem where you remove each other from the equation.
He can pilot all he likes.
Jonathan's
I've got my ruby.
Jonathan,
you have to take your hands off the ruby to pilot.
Maybe you could shoot natives. I know,
but
you're at a penalty.
Essentially, there's a compel in here to fight with Fogg and remove him from the equation instead of doing anything useful with your round. Or you can elect to ignore it and do something useful with your round.
Well, the thing is I'm at minus 3 to everything, so...
Yep, so I think Jonathan, that impaling has taken the fight out of Jonathan, plus no one's trying to take his ruby off him at this stage, so...
You're just loading the ruby
in. So make a check to shoot natives.
Okay. You fire your pistol blindly out the side as you're climbing in, basically.
Dr. Strange.
So I have two options. I can shoot my gun, or I can summon some swarm of mosquitoes.
Catch them.
Parrots.
Good.
Parrots?
Monkeys.
Monkeys?
Ooh,
monkeys.
Monkeys.
Would there be monkeys in this forest?
It's the Amazon jungle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plus, it's a pop
more monkeys than you could shake a stick at. There's always monkeys.
There's the monkeys who are very, very angry because they took over their space and... Wait, what kind of thing could they do? Maybe they hunt the monkeys with
them. They throw poo at them.
Yeah, it's got to be the monkeys throw poo or fruit.
Yeah,
monkeys
for two. It's completely useless as a combat action, but given your sole purpose here is to distract and annoy them.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Okay,
it's just one of those things. It's
so...
Hulk Japan, ninjas.
Spin the PowerPoints.
Hulk Jungle,
and roll me a... arcane casting check in lieu as your team works that effectively.
Okay.
The better you command the monkeys, the more poo they will throw.
This is the
poo. Come on, explode!
No, it's not exploding poo.
Yeah. Because on the failure, you still get your spell off.
Yeah.
It's just there aren't sufficient monkeys around and you don't coordinate them sufficiently in time to achieve anything much with this.
Okay.
A few natives get pelted.
Wow, is that really only one PowerPoint, that animal summoning?
No, it was 3.
Oh, okay.
She wrote down 3.
Yeah,
right, okay.
It was 6 minus 3, which is 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you were crossing off 6 and writing 5.
No.
It was 3.
Okay.
It was a 3.
And thus we are leaving the driving entirely up to the NPCs.
Yep. But we fixed the helicopter.
They're very powerful NPCs.
And we fixed the helicopter. That was our contribution.
I got to throw poo.
Anyway, if we all get attacked by natives this round, we can have another swing at the driving and fending off natives.
Plus, you and me will actually be able to do something else.
Yeah, well, I'll either hit natives with my wrench or fly, depending on how useful the idiots at the front are at actually piloting things.
How long does the summoning last?
Oh, that would be bad.
Oh, dear.
That
I
presume this is a helicopter that can actually carry seven people.
It's certainly not designed for that purpose, but you'll all be hanging off the sides dramatically as it flies
seven
away.
Seven people and a giant
as it flies away into the sunset.
Yeah.
And now
of course, Jonathan's pretty much obliged to be dangling from the bottom.
It's absolutely the thing where everyone is dangling off the sides of the helicopter.
But Jonathan's
that's
dangling off the
bottom.
Them.
You're dangling off the bottom going,
So... I know we quote that a lot, but this is so your Inez moment.
Pete, you know that Elsa's not that mechanically adept.
Yeah.
She would probably, given her skill set from what you know of it, which might well have changed, she'd probably be better to be hacking natives with her sword as they try and climb aboard the helicopter. However, unless you could get rid of her, she might be inclined to come over and help you. And it has been a long time since you've been that close to her. Do you want to take a compel and have Elsa's help repairing the helicopter?
No, I wanted to fight natives.
The fact that it's worth a compel for her to come over and attempt to assist you should tell you something.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, come on. You're going to have a flirtatious moment.
No. Just no. Aww.
Pete's focused on everyone living, especially Elsa. And his small, vulnerable friends.
So, she will...
Small, vulnerable, badly wounded.
She will shove Maxwell and Phileas ahead of her as they run to the chopper.
Yeah.
And Phileas shouts to everyone generally as he leaps, and stand aside, I'll drive!
Oh god, we're all going to die. That's completely audible, incidentally.
Jonathan is saying the same thing. Okay,
all right. At three, two.
Oh god, we're all going to die.
And as Elsa starts to fall behind, Maxwell turns slightly to her. Get to the chopper! Because he couldn't resist. Elsa will attempt to assist with fighting. And people can actually roll a fighting check at this.
To assist her fighting?
Pretty much.
Cool. Why not?
I'm going to need the knowledge sooner or later, tragically. But I'm not helping Mara remend the helicopter is actually quite complicated.
Elsa uses a pointy thing. I roll critical bubble.
It was sharp.
Man, it's harsh that we have no fate points as a party. We've got two apiece.
I have, one left.
I have one left as well.
And that's the entire party's supply. This was a bitch temple.
Yes, it was.
Especially when this party includes a freaking luck monkey.
It was that poison room. It nearly killed us all.
So, natives swarm towards the chopper and start jumping on, and Elsa starts fighting them off with the sword.
There is literally no room on this helicopter for natives.
Well, that's sort of the problem. That's why you need to get rid of them before you take off. Jonathan, you will observe that she is chopping them into pieces with reasonable proficiency. You can have one of two things, either one of her fighting edges or her actual skill, the dice level in it.
Ooh. I'm just taking a look to see if I already have any of those things, and I do not.
And
I'd say dice level.
What would Pete prefer to know?
Fighting edge.
One of her fighting edges.
I know she's got martial artists.
You see, what she is very good at doing is fending people off. She drops back in a position covering Maxwell, and as natives leap at him, she starts pushing them back, knocking them off. She has block and improved block, giving herself a parry bonus and a parry bonus to anyone else in the same zone she pleases. She protects Maxwell, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
And then go down to Maxwell and Fogg trying to fly that fucking helicopter.
Yeah, what could fucking possibly go wrong?
Okay.
Well, if I was at a -3, I could have.
That was a nasty. I'm grateful you're still conscious. We could have been carrying you.
Maxwell will assist Phileas. Phileas will drive.
Although, if we had been carrying him, we could at least have left the damn giant ruby.
I'm so proud of myself.
He didn't drop it, even
if we get out of this alive, you'll have earned an achievement.
So Maxwell,
did they manage to get the helicopter?
Maxwell jumps into the co-pilot's seat and starts flicking switches and all that sort of thing. The chopper hums to life. Fogg yanks back on the Phileas yanks back on the what's it called?
Yoke.
The yoke, thank you. Yanks back on the yoke, and the chopper does start to lift off. He can certainly fly at a basic competent level. But then the problem is the volley of spears start tinking off the side of it and flying through the, of course, the open gap where the doors are on either side, wide open as people are pouring in. And now it's going to call for some more fancy, evasive flying. And that, at this particular point, he's just not up to.
Yep.
So a fuselage of spears flies in to the copter. And we have a whole bunch of targets here. Three, four. So there's four of you, three of them, so...
D8.
So that would be Doctor Strange.
Everyone's fighting me today.
Jonathan.
No.
Mara. It's going to be all you guys. And that's the same again. That's the same again. That's the same again. That one would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Elsa.
Yeah, I thought the last one. It's going to be all the people Pete doesn't want speared. Not Fogg, who's fucking immune to damage. And on the other hand, he is flying the helicopter.
Yeah.
And he would notice the spear in the jet.
Yeah, there's also some question how it would interact with poison.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that might get rid of it. Might not.
Oh, great, they're poison spears. That's
they're poison spears.
Of course they're poison.
Well, they've fought them before and it was poison.
Yeah, try not to pass out, okay? Doctor Strange, I can't make
Doctor Strange, 11 versus your toughness.
No.
And a figure check.
My toughness is 5, my area is 4.
So you are getting shaken and wounded.
Yeah.
I would save your last penny, however.
And then make a figure check versus poison.
That possibly 4 there. Oh, yes. Well done.
8. That's 9.
Success in a race.
So a spear flies in, hooks you in the, slashes you in the arm as it goes clean out the other side. You wince, and that's quite a deep cut. Mm. And then immediately bite into your arm and suck the poison out, knowing.
or maybe Thomas does that. Thomas comes to. Hacks up a fur ball.
Like a cat eating marmite.
Yep.
6 versus your toughness.
Dead on.
Yeah.
Okay, so it merely shakes you, but it does poison you. So maybe make a check as well.
Nope.
Okay.
-3 penalty.
So the spear just slashes you lightly. You feel fine for the moment.
Oh dear. Am I with the first aid here?
Well,
I'm at
-3.
Eight, you won't have to save
toughness.
His life.
Oh, nope. That's a success.
Okay. With a, so
just
shake,
a success.
So shaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's your little?
What's your toughness?
5.
Right. Yeah. So you are shaken.
Where's
he's
going to
ask you to do?
And then making a vigor check.
Vigor.
This will make this suck.
Yay! Pass.
Okay. And a spear hits you. We see it hit you in the shoulder and sort of pin you to the wall. And it's again the, oh God, she must be dead thing. And then as the sting music plays, in a few moments we'll see you lift your arm up over the spear, ripping the undershirt where it's basically gone under your arm, pinned you to the wall by your shirt, and just lightly nicked you under the arm.
I was about to say, we almost lost our PG rating there.
Yeah. And you pull it off and you've just ripped a slight piece of underarm clothing. And also... fucking obliterated.
It's a good thing we have, you know, this healing item of healing with an actual healer on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm already at 3 wounds.
Yeah.
One more wounded, you may drop the ruby.
No, I won't.
Now that it's in the helicopter, I'm prepared to look after it for you when you go out.
Actually, I see it with like a death grip on the bag.
Elsa gets hit and staggers backwards, shaken as well.
Yep.
And so what we see here is Pete and Mara frantically working, trying to repair the helicopter. Maxwell is flicking things on as you get them, as fast as you can get them working. Fog lifts off, turns slightly the wrong way to evade. The fuselage of spears flies in. Natives start leaping in, and Elsa starts slashing back again. Spears ding everyone there, and then the chopper lifts off, raises above the tree line, and flies off, leaving a horde of angry natives below you going shouting at you.
It was worth your life.
Yes. I still have my giant ruby.
Of course, you're about to pass out from the cold water poison.
I'm very proud of myself.
You fly.
We have the heal. What is the healing thing?
You fly. You start flying off, and Elsa and Jonathan both stagger slightly back, looking poisoned. So anyone who wants to have a go at healing them has got basically one effort at doing it.
Yep, me.
Okay, which one?
Well, I'll go for Jonathan first, since he's the difficult one. And he's also family.
Does having the eye help?
Well, what happens with the eye? Does it only have one cure, or what?
It's still sitting in the giant ruby.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm going up to Jonathan.
Yeah. Are you stealing the ruby and the eye off him? Or?
Well, I don't have to steal. I don't have to steal it for
you.
Yeah, I don't have to steal the ruby. I just need the eye.
But so you ask him to get the eye. What are you doing? You're getting the eye out.
Can you get the eye out? Or
yeah.
I'll heal you.
I open the ruby and I get the eye out for her.
Okay. So you reach your hands in. You touch the ball of glowing light. That actually feels great. As you touch it, you feel all the fatigue and poison and all that kind of thing that you were suffering from just sort of slough away from you. As you look down, you swear that your wounds are actually healing. And you're fine.
Yes.
You remove any levels of fatigue or wounds that you're suffering from.
Oh, beautiful.
Is it just a thing of putting your hand inside of the ruby?
No, touching the eye.
Touching the eye.
Touching it. Okay.
Yeah. And what he draws out is actually a solid ball. It is a much smaller gem that is glowing with a brilliant light.
Nice.
As Jonathan touches it, the light dims dramatically.
Ooh. So it's only got so many
charges left because Phil Quaddle's dead.
We need to save some.
Yeah. See, this is why I was taking the whole thing, was because I didn't know what would happen when we took it out.
Yeah, alright.
So.
Doctor Strange, help us.
You know,
we need to put
the
that.
Giant
Jonathan, we need to put that back in.
Yeah.
I'll go over to Elsa. Elsa, my dear, show me your wound.
She is already suffering from the effects of this. No, she isn't yet, because you have actually got time to do this, because you haven't had to take 10 minutes or so to look after Jonathan.
No.
Because as soon as you go over to him, he's like, I'm better. It's magic.
I think that was worth finding out on you. You were in pretty bad shape.
Yeah. Well, it was the first person that did it, so...
That was just very lucky.
Okay, you go over to Elsa. Can you make me a healing check? Remembering that you're...
I got 4. I got a lucky plus 1, though, so it's 4.
Does the lucky plus 1 still apply?
This will be the last thing it does to her.
Yeah.
At this point, the feather stops working altogether because now you are well outside of the
Kilquato
effects of stuff.
But that was the last.
As in, it's luck that opposes Kilquato and his minions.
Yeah.
So if you then immediately start a fight with Fog and Co. in the helicopter, it does nothing for you.
Yeah. So it's going to help me with this poison?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So you go over and start treating the wounds, and she holds her poison sides like, it feels a little better. Thank you.
Now remember to change this once an hour, and this, and put this ointment on here, and you should be fine by the morning. I'll wipe her brow, because she's probably a little bit fevered.
She
is.
She sort of staggers up. Is everyone all right? That doesn't matter. We are not here to help them. It was mutually agreeable to get out of there. Now we will go our separate ways. But not before I get that eye, says Fog from the cockpit.
That's going to Dr. Amanda Hunt, who's been poisoned by a Quaklato native and needs it to heal herself.
Hunt. You don't mean that stupid woman who lives back in that godforsaken village out here in the arse end of nowhere accomplishing nothing. Excuse me, I need it for an actual purpose, to cement the Fog name and legacy in history. I will be the one who brought the Eye of Quilquato back to civilization.
And how would you prove that with the only living expert dying in a coma?
I've done it before.
My dear, stop me from pushing out the door, please.
Let me put it to you this way. Sooner or later, this is going to come down to a fight. We all know that's coming, right? Do you want it to be now?
When I'm driving the helicopter, it does seem rather advantageous to me. And he dips it and wobbles it slightly, and everyone goes, woo.
You think you're the only one that can fly this thing?
And Jonathan's like, I flew a zeppelin. No, Jonathan!
I think I'm the one who can crash it. Maxwell winces. This Herr Fog, Herr Fog, we do not need the eye. I need it for my legacy, for the Fog name. That does not matter to the purposes for which we. In the long run, it will be necessary for me.
If you crash the helicopter, you're walking back.
And
social combat time?
Well, it's a question of where you want to go with this.
We just want him to let us keep the eye and just go our separate ways.
So, there's several things you can do here.
Yep.
You can start a fight in a crowded helicopter that's flying, which is going to be fucking awesome.
No, I don't want to fight Elsa. She'll kick my ass.
We could start a social combat rather than a physical fight.
You could start a social combat.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually just resolve the problem by another methodology entirely, by just jumping out of the damn helicopter with the eye.
I like that plan.
I can do
like
that.
Like, it's full of parachutes, obviously.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, I think,
Now that you're healed.
Yeah, no, okay. Pete's totally... If everybody else is okay, Pete's not in the least phased by that.
So, do we see the thing where everyone sort of makes eyes at each other and the eyes shift towards the parachutes at the edge and everyone starts shuffling closer towards the edge of the thing?
Yeah.
And Fog, of course, because he can't not do this, stands there and continues to pontificate on. And you will hear a bit of this as he continues to go on. You see, I intend to take that back to the British Museum of Science. Now, unlike you, Dr. Hannah, I can already afford to live like a king. I don't need to steal for that. It's a matter of legacy. My name be known for the entire rest of time. I can guarantee that will happen, Herr Fog. You do not need the eye for that.
Have we already left at this point?
Do Maxwell and Elsa, like, see us edging and just not react? Given that they don't want it?
Not want the thing? And Fog, I want it, and I always get everything I want. Now hand over the eye, or I will plant this bird into the nearest river. Give me what I want. There's no other choice for you.
I'm jumping. I've got a parachute on.
We're counting back if anyone wants to give some dramatic parting words.
And,
hang
on. Don't always get everything you want. Didn't get married, did you?
Shots were fired.
And the helicopter... dips alarmingly as Fog lets go of the yoke altogether, not intentionally trying to crash it, but turn around and wave his fist. Elsa and Maxwell grab onto poles as the helicopter lurches violently, and the four of you, Tom in hand, jump out the side. The GM yank the ripcord, and everyone starts parachuting down into the jungle.
See you again, Elsa.
Of course.
That serves excellently as a way to disconnect you from the incident.
Yeah, this is the downside with teaming up with the bad guys.
The inevitable betrayal.
Yeah, well, I was wondering how we were going to get out of there with the eye. That was the whole reason I stole the Spark pipes in place, and they inevitably stole it from us and then ran away.
You could have just given them the giant ruby and told them it was the eye.
Yeah, but I want the giant myself.
Yeah, if we didn't have Jonathan as a member, we might have done that. If we had someone different as a member than Jonathan, we might have done that. But Jonathan wants the giant ruby.
Besides, we wouldn't have had the giant ruby if we didn't have Jonathan.
Yeah, also, we wouldn't have had the eye if it wasn't for Jonathan, because Jonathan carried it the whole way through the airport.
Not to mention, Jonathan surmounted most of the traps that got us there in the first place.
I think we
it was a pretty team effort. Doctor Strange basically single-handedly cured us, nearly single-handedly cured us of the poison. Mara flew us across the room with the air elementals, and there was that boulder.
But I do think we could say that Jonathan definitely urged that ruby.
Yeah. Everyone who isn't Fog is united on that point. No one has a problem with Jonathan having the giant ruby. But we will... You were very wise to use it as a carrying case. I hadn't realised that was... But you obviously worked out that that might happen.
Where I could have had a conversation with Maxwell?
Not really. You spend the first, like, 10 minutes escaping.
Yeah.
And then the next couple of minutes having a lengthy argument with him. And then
healing.
Jumping outside.
Yeah, you heal people. We escape from natives, you save Elsa's life, and then we jump out of the plane before Vilius really pushes us for the eye.
Okay, so when we land on the ground, I'll, Amanda will basically collapse onto the ground and slam her fist onto the ground angrily. I had a chance! He was right there. I could have asked him.
Who? Asked him what?
Maxwell. I could have asked him what happened to my... To
what
Thomas.
Happened to Tom in the temple? Have you told us about how... you've told us about the circumstances.
Yeah. You've heard literally the prologue.
Yeah. We've heard the... You think he knows something more about what happened?
Well, how could he not? He was there. Maybe he activated something.
We'll have another chance. We're going to see them again. We have a lot of unfinished business with them. We're going to see them again.
Wow.
The important thing is that Tom's okay. You got him out of there safely. I know that wasn't easy.
I don't know what happened.
It wasn't your fault, Thomas.
You've been hurt.
These wounds can heal. Losing you, I could heal from that.
Aww. I'm hugging my giant ruby. I didn't know what would happen if I took the eye out, and I didn't want to risk taking the eye out.
Yeah. Alright, now that we're on the ground, I just want to point out that I have fought my way into a giant temple, it's all the way through a giant temple, back out being chased by a giant crocodile, and up in a helicopter and back down out of the helicopter, and I am completely uninjured.
Not bad for a local boy from Bixby.
Yep.
I did not take a single wound in the entire course of that.
Yep. With a spanner as a pillow.
And I did that while being a little girl.
Yes, but you had to make circles.
So, in the immediate short
I did not.
You all parachute into the jungle. Mm. The helicopter circles around the general area several times as they basically try and spot you again from the air. And after about 10 minutes, Fog gives this up as an obviously stupid game. There's no question. A, he can't land the helicopter here. B, you've conveniently taken all the parachutes, so he can't come down that way, even if he was prepared to lose the chopper. And C, spotting you from the air is a fool's game. It's never going to happen. So he circles for a bit, gives up, and flies off into what is naturally the sunset.
Yeah.
Leaving the four of you to trek your way through the jungle.
Yeah,
please tell me we're on the other side of the cavern.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yes, you conveniently you are in a nice spot where it's just a matter of trekking back to
Everyone knows that the heroic montage only leads you into the jungle. It's always easy to get back out again.
Yes. That's right.
And the helicopter is actually a pretty good mechanic for justifying why it's not a great big huge trek back out.
Yeah.
And so, there's a couple of things here. Unsurprisingly, this is the end of the adventure.
Yeah.
I presume you can work out. You've completed versus the strange expedition versus the crocodile cult.
Yeah.
Can we have the scene where we heal Dr. Hunt?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking through now. So, next week we theoretically have a new player joining us.
Yay! It's my friend Yaren. She's really excited to come.
I would like to move to towards the start of the next adventure for that one, because I know where she's coming in.
Yeah.
and thus walk to speed through a couple of bits tonight and then do a couple of other bits. Does that suit everyone?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so is anyone massively invested in Dr. Amelia Hunt playing the scene out at great length?
I think we're happy with the montage where we cure her.
You return...
Sorry.
Right. She's kind of friends with my character. It doesn't have to be long, just something more than we cured her.
You trek back to the village of Belon, through the region of the slow death.
Yeah.
You arrive back, carrying the eye carefully inside this ruby, because its light is definitely dimmed, and you go back in. The villagers are caring for her, putting cold compresses on, keeping her hydrated. She's very much in the condition you left her in, very slightly worse, hasn't got significantly worse. That's very much what you would expect and look strange. And you go over to her. Knowing how these occult objects work, you're very careful handling the eye with thick gloves on and that sort of thing, so as not to lose any of its power. Transfer it, place it upon her, and it dims significantly more, for it's just putting out a very thin light indeed. But immediately, as soon as you touch her with it, she... her eyes blink a couple of times, she coughs a few times... and then, in a voice just completely full of strength, no weakness in it at all, sits up. Amanda, there was a man at the window.
We have the Eye of Cool Quarter.
She looks round, looks at everyone.
You are now healed.
I've been poisoned, hadn't I?
Yes.
Quantain. It really does exist. Did you keep a sample? It must be fa- You have the Eye of Kilquato? She takes it. The light level doesn't change, but she handles it because it's already discharged into her, so it's no longer doing anything to her. Fantastic.
It's now completely discharged, unfortunately, but it is still an object.
You went to get this for me. You must have faced terrible perils at the temple.
It was a little hectic.
Just a little.
I got photos of the altar room.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes, I got in there. You must have found my notes to find the lost village.
Yeah, they were very helpful.
And there was something terrible in the water.
Yes, we met him.
Yeah. That was Kilquato.
Please, you must tell me all about it, then.
Yeah, we tell her the whole story, and Mara gives her the photos.
She writes pages after pages after pages of notes and gets the photos and all this sort of thing.
And I presume we give her the Eye of Kilquato and Jonathan the Giant Ruby?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
She can have the eye, I don't want it.
She will look at the giant ruby, will take photos or will sketch it, will analyse its door and all that sort of thing, but concludes that... And she looks through it. Oh, a fascinating container. The thickness of the gem must contain the magic of the Eye of Kilquato. Other than that, though, it's
just a gem.
It's just an enormous ruby. You can keep it if you don't want to.
I'm good. I've got a place.
she really doesn't care. She's got no interest in giant gems at all. It's
this is your new chest of drawers by your bedside. Yes.
And Amanda knows that she's going to credit the group for helping her.
Hopefully, as soon as we hit civilization, we can drop that thing in your safe deposit box so we don't have to carry it with us forever.
In a matter of weeks, I'll be ready to publish. Dr. Amelia Hunt and the Strange Expedition Discover the Lost Tribe of Kilquato. It's going straight to National Geographic.
Yeah, just watch out for Phileas. He was pretty keen to try and recover the thing. I think he's moved on to the next stage of the race.
I think he was more interested in the ruby, wasn't he?
No, he wanted the eye. He didn't know which one was which.
He's wanted the credit of stealing the academic publication. He's done it before. Look pointedly at Jonathan.
Yeah. What he actually wanted was the giant ruby, because he thought that was the eye.
That's
far too much of an arrogant cockmonger to A, ever assume he'd be wrong about his conclusion, and B, ever assume it would be anything but the biggest, shiniest, giantest gem you'd ever seen.
That's why he's the
guy who would pick the shiny gem encrusted grail and go, "This is the cup of kings."
Yeah.
Oh god, I chose Paulin.
You're having such a happy recording tonight.
Get to the chopper. Well, as soon as I set this chase, I was like, what's the first thing to happen? Get to the chopper.
Oh dear. So that's, in Fog's mind, that's the third time we've crossed him. Because the first time was the trial.
Yep.
The third time is this time now.
And the second time was
the wedding. Because he's totally going to blame us for that.
Yep. He should blame us for that. I interrupted the wedding
very
long enough,
specifically
long enough
should
for
be
the,
blamed
okay,
for that.
It's me specifically. It was you at the trial because you were the one that did the shit eating line. It was me at the wedding, and
I'd say it's Jonathan's turn this time.
Yeah, that seems fair.
So now we're just waiting for Doctor Strange.
Although
turn
I think Doctor Strange wants to, you know, inconvenience Maxwell in some way.
Yeah.
Maxwell is an episode.
Yeah,
guys,
but everything is about Fog, so.
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to confront Maxwell yet.
No, but, you know, the big dramatic confrontations are coming.
Yeah.
Fighting for the answers of the mystery of Tom and the way to save Elsa.
Yeah.
And even possibly for some kind of salvation for Phileas before it's too late. All these things are coming.
Look, we need to save Maxwell.
Yeah.
Like, his soul has been ripped out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's far more important than saving.
Yeah, Phileas is going to be the guy that eats it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I think he has, I think, I don't know, Doctor Strange and I are vaguely prepared to save him for the greater good.
Oh, I really want to save Fog, just so I can rub his face in it.
Okay, so Jonathan has no interest in saving Fog and will not actively hinder us from doing so. The other three of us are sort of prepared to do it after we've saved Tom, Elsa, and Maxwell.
We'll consider it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's he needs to survive so the world survives, then sure, you know, he can survive. But he was already a horrible person before this, so it's not like the world would really be at a loss.
Okay, quite awesome.
Well, do we want to move on?
Yes.
Okay. So that concludes Versus the Crocodile. So,
I think we can safely say we fought them.
We need to get our photograph and stuff.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we got
yeah. In the off-screen conversation with her,
you get
your photograph and signature with Dr. Hunt.
And the Eye of Kulkato in the photo. Just rub that.
Yep.
Just rub Felisa's face in
So, several things. At this point, everyone refreshes.
Yay!
And gets an extra fate point.
Ooh.
As you take the compel that you've sort of taken, or Fog is getting ahead of you because he's got the chopper and you had to walk through the jungle.
Yep.
So you're picking up failure markers in exchange for compel.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Jeez, Adam takes all of the points.
We probably don't actually need to draw them, though, because...
Yes.
Oh.
We're about to do travel stuff.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, understood, because you wanted to get a bit further forward.
So that's too...
You've got so many fake points, Adam.
Secondly, everyone gets a recovery period as you're walking back through the jungle.
So physical wounds go down?
You get to roll vigor checks to try and get rid of them.
Okay.
And we probably would get the opportunity to, at some point in there, to roll heal checks before the hour was up, because we parachuted into the jungle and then we're walking out of it.
Oh, yeah, true. Yes. Okay, so
I'll
do
green.
Then vigor checks.
Okay, so I'll do my vigor checks from then.
So heal check first to try and mend people.
Who's injured? Starters?
Me.
Jonathan's fine, so it's just... Sorry, I'm looking at Jonathan going, weren't you horrible? Oh, right, you're magic. Magic.
Yeah,
I was.
Okay, make a healing check on yourself.
No, the
okay.
ones.
Make a bigger check.
D6. Oh, shit. Shit. Why did I get this before? Okay.
So
I'm just rolling sixes.
Yeah, that's
fine
enough.
Before the next bit starts.
Yeah.
You can remove your singular wound.
That wasn't a cat wound. You shook the cat wound.
I shook the cat wound. That was a spear wound. So
right,
that was something actually legitimately something I should have gotten hurt for.
And our power points would have gone back up overnight.
Yep.
I can cast again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tapped out. No magic and no Betty's left.
Yeah.
You will be getting XP to advance, but we'll do that the next time.
Yep. Sounds good.
So what we are doing now is beginning the next adventure.
Yep.
And this literally starts with a little red line going out of the Amazon jungle and going across the sea, up here towards Japan, Siberia, and China. Because as you, the characters, know, not you, the players, where you are being sent here is to China to help the famous martial artist Xu Yan to in whatever task he requires in exchange for getting his photo and his signature. Of course, what this is going to be is you've probably seen several TV shows that start like this, where they've just completed an adventure that happened completely off screen and is only ever retroactively referenced as opposed to actively played out.
Yeah.
There's an episode of Leverage that runs exactly like this.
Yes.
So you have met Xu Yan, who wants your assistance with finding the luck dragons who can teach him a fabulous martial arts technique with sufficient meditation and things.
Awesome.
Who are said to be lost somewhere in the upper reaches of China where it starts turning into Siberia and that sort of thing. This epic journey leads you across Siberia and Japan and that sort of thing. Somebody draw two fate points and put them in the middle of the table.
Ooh.
Blue and a red.
Those are accessible to anyone who can tell some sort of... accessible for the next bit of adventure, for anyone who can tell some sort of story about what you did retroactively, referencing the events that we didn't see on screen of this adventure,
ooh,
basically.
I have to figure something up.
So when you roll them, you know, it's then you start recapping, ah, and then we did this thing and this thing and this thing.
So is that right now, or...
It's for this travel montage and for the start of the train to tomorrow.
Cool, okay.
And then, basically, the red line moves off, we end the episode of the Crocodile Cult. We start the next episode, and it starts with you all standing on top of a snowy mountaintop with this very, very beefcake Chinese-looking guy who's standing there completely shirtless, despite the cold. Being total fan service. And he's giving you a very deep, honourable bow. And he says, I thank you, most honourable strange expedition sons, for your magnificent work in finding these rare and magnificent luck dragon beasts. And behind you see two huge white Chinese long serpentine dragons swirling and dancing in and out of each other.
Funny.
It looks like some magnificent adventure has occurred here. He says, I will remain with them to learn the techniques over some years of long meditation. But I understand now that you must go. Thank you all. Let us pause with the luck dragons for your photo.
Yay.
Click. Signs the thing. And the thing comes up. You've completed the adventure. Well done.
Yeah, that's totally how it works.
We didn't buy the DLC, so we just skipped it.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to buy the DLC before you get the Luck Dragon Adventure.
Pete's buffing his wrench assiduously as the after the photo, and it's like, it was an honour, but I'm not sure I'm ever going to get this dent out. That night demon packed one heck of a punch. It took quite a few whacks to bring him down.
I was impressed to see you could do it at all. With a construction tool.
It's a surprisingly versatile construction tool, but I don't think I'd have been able to pull it off if Mara hadn't been flipping around its head at the time.
Oh, dear.
I understand that you are in a hurry, and you have only a single destination left to visit in Antarctica before you complete your race. I will let you go about your way. And obviously, you know, the guy you're going to meet is going to meet you at the end of a train journey for a long boat ride to Antarctica, well across the other side of Europe. So you just need to cross Europe to get there, no problem.
Yeah.
First of all, of course, the camera, Xu Yan bows to you, walks off screen with the dragons, into the ancient monastery behind him. And then you look around and consider how you're going to get down from these snowy mountains that you're up here. Of course, you know how you got up. You took that experimental gyrocopter from the Chinese mad inventor Kang Mei.
Naturally. I'm going to make some notes of this so we can use it for the...
There was the small problem, unspecified, that resulted in the serious damage that's been done to it now.
Yeah.
However, it's still theoretically functional. And so you have a couple of choices to get down off this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We presume everyone's rugged up in cold weather gear or something.
Yeah.
You can climb down using the climbing equipment you have, which will probably be very safe but on the slow side. or you can take the badly damaged mad science gyrocopter down.
Hell yes!
I'm risking. Sorry, you're talking to the group that took the Zeppelin before.
That took the bullet and made it faster.
Yeah, we're not doing the bullet again. We all agreed to Mara about that. But this is not a bullet, this is a gyrocopter.
Has anyone played Jade Empire, the video game?
Not very far, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's that sort of weird steam... It's that sort of steampunk thing, but it's a helicopter instead of a plane. Invented by a mad Chinese inventor called Kang the Mad.
Naturally.
Okay. So you want to risk the damaged gyrocopter?
Yes, we want to risk the damaged gyrocopter. We are behind fog. We have race to make out.
Okay. So you take off in it, and... almost immediately, just as soon as you've cleared the zone where you could safely land on the mountain again and not crash to your death, it starts making spluttering noises and smoke starts pouring out the back.
Yep.
The rotors where that one dent is are starting to hang awkwardly.
Repair shoe.
Yeah. Here you need a couple of successes. You need piloting successes to actually fly it without shattering it. You need repair successes to actually keep it going. You can use weird science for this in lieu of either of those because it is a weird science device. It is generally operated by weird science.
I have the same score on either, so do they come with different results or?
Not really in this case.
Okay,
but
so,
I think weird science is more.
Oh, actually,
exciting.
Yes. Sorry, because this is the. Yes, you will want the weird science because that's the one that won't be taking horrible penalties because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Weird science it is then.
Alright, that being the case, I think I'll fly... You fix the copter because it's a weird technology. I'll help Jonathan fly the thing.
Okay.
And I'll sit here and hug my cat.
So we've
got
exactly the same piloting, don't we? Well, why don't you take this one and I'll be your co-pilot.
Fixing it, no penalty.
Yep.
Which is done first. See how hard the piloting roll is.
Ooh, yes. That's a 7.
Okay. So, you recognize that this is the gyrocopter's last magnificent... This is a... we will steal the same one from Jade Empire. This is the magnificent dragonfly's last adventure. It will not survive this, no matter what you do. But you can patch the engine enough to get you to the ground in one piece, as long as these guys can cope with the rotors. Piloting at -2.
Yeah.
That's a success to boost you up 1, and I will throw an effect point into your role.
You're taking the penalty on the assistance as well.
Oh, right. Okay, hold on. Get me that back. It's going to be a bit more complicated than that. Okay, so
remembering you've got the ones in the middle you can have.
Yep. So, yes. Okay, hold on. I can't... alright. We have to get this thing to safety. Maybe we can sort of coast it down. Do you remember the way as it was soaring? It was amazing when it was soaring up and we first caught sight of those light dragons and swooping over the valley. But I don't think that rotor's going to last very much longer. It was that night demon that dove in and grabbed the copter in its claws and shook it. This rotor damage.
I want to do the DLC.
I really want to do this adventure. It's got light dragon.
Why do you think it's DLC?
I deliberately didn't do the Chinese one because the last got talking.
I swear, if Doctor Strange hadn't been able to speak fluent Mandarin, that we'd never have convinced that thing that we were ancestral
Mandarin.
That we were ancestral Chinese gods and got it to let go of the copter before it broke.
Thank you.
Okay. So
we were asked, are you gods? We said yes!
In ancient Mandarin, which was the only way it would work.
So you can spend that if you so choose. You can add a d6 basically directly to Jonathan's roll rather than using it for the team.
Really? Alas, my drum. And I'll spend the spare fate point I was going to do, and that gets us over the threshold.
Yay!
Okay. So, bending and twisting. We see you all sort of pulling on the earth pieces. You know, I think it can take a damn night demon somewhere. In the background, sort of in the sky, we just see the big black face going ha 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 ha, less the actual creature and more the ominous overlay. And the next thing we see is the chopper has landed upside down, but perfectly. It is spinning slowly to a stop in the snow, and everyone climbs out.
Yeah.
And it goes. And the magnificent dragonfly completes its last flight.
Yeah.
Aww.
You succeed. Well, Kang will just have to build another one.
Yeah, that's true.
But
for a better one.
And in fact, you've landed outside his home at the bottom of the mountain. So he looks at, ah, Leah, the magnificent dragonfly did not survive. But I have a new idea. Rocket boosters! Oh. Imagine if everyone had a magnificent dragonfly strapped to their back!
I you know, so up.
You know, if you could, if you use this experimental fuel, it'd go 5 times faster.
Brilliant! How could it go wrong? Faster is always better. That's
quick,
the motto.
Far away before I destroy the world.
Yeah, by the way, Amanda has Vietnam flashbacks.
Yeah. Doctor Strange, what say we move our expedition hastily along before we build this and we're forced to test?
My face is as white as the snow.
For him, I'm using the air race archetype in the front that has major hindrance speed. Its speed doesn't kill. Delusion speed. Its delusion speed doesn't kill. It's absolute scientific fact that going faster is not more dangerous.
Of course, I proved it.
That was Penny's. That was Penny's one. There's no such thing as too much fast.
Okay.
The brake pedal's just for ornamentation and tricky turns.
This brings you down to the base of this mountain, which is, of course, on an isolated island in the Sea of Japan, that sort of disputed area between Japan, China, and Russia and Siberia. Of course, getting past all the various militaries was an adventure in and of itself,
yeah.
Let me tell you. Secondly, we come to the crossing the Sea of Japan to get back into China proper. Of course, after the unmentioned incident with the military, the Chinese military are looking for you.
Yeah.
So you need to get back in a way that isn't just slide in through customs. So it's either getting smuggled in on a dodgy Japanese junk, or hang gliding across the Sea of Japan.
Hang gliding.
There is a very strong tourist area around here.
Pete's happy to do anything
I've
that doesn't involve strapping
here
an experimental rocket to his back.
I've been here, like, I came here and visited here when Thomas was still a human being, and he was quite into the hang gliding. I was quite into the green tea, the selection of green tea that they had in the markets.
Oh,
and I remembered the location where there was really, really nice, safe hang gliding. I wouldn't let him do anything that was experimental.
I can imagine.
This is my Thomas we're speaking of
yep.
here.
I can imagine Pete running into the Rocketeer someday and thinking I'm absolutely insane.
Yeah. Hmm? In today's technology, in any technology, but particularly in the era that we're in, strapping rockets to your back is just not a good idea.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it better if Mara ramps them up with fuel that hasn't been invented yet. That makes it worse.
So
fuel that hasn't been invented yet in rockets that are very much 19th century and haven't been designed to cope with it.
The guy running it, of course, thinks nothing of people. And, you know, you're clearly you're clearly tourists. You're exactly
yep.
who his business caters for.
Yep.
He rents you some hang gliders, no problem. You can attempt to fly them across the Sea of Japan. So this is group checks.
Yep.
So it's majority passes, majority fails.
Yep.
I think Dr. Strange actually just buys the hang gliders because we
yep.
know we're not getting there.
You either know what you're doing and actually pilot it with piloting,
sweet.
Or you rely on your own innate agility to actually use it. So you have your choice here of piloting or agility at -4. It's not just flying the hang glider, which it's okay to fly it, but what you want to be doing is flying it quickly because we are actually in a race here.
I think piloting is probably the better one.
If you're naturally very, very agile, then it would favour you to take that. So if you had someone with no piloting and D10 agility,
yeah, but the only
be
one
better.
Who's very agile has piloting.
Yep.
Yeah, I may
yeah.
be spending a green dice.
My piloting is actually better than my agility. In that case.
Going with piloting.
Oh, this is going to be so bad.
No, crud.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. I just use a normal pen.
Oh, I, yeah.
There you go. I pass.
-1.
I pass.
So, how many people have passed? So, alright, so we need one more to group
yep.
success. Okay, I'll spend a white and re-roll that.
Yep.
And I pass. And we all sort of steer Doctor Strange out of the
I'm lost. Why am I going backwards?
Yeah, Doctor Strange is just circling. She's worked out how to turn right, and that's it. So that's when you come in and start actually bumping your
hand. Tom is just supposed to tell me how to do this.
Do you know how hard it is to hold onto a bar, hang glider bar with paws?
You're supposed to be able to do this kind of thing.
I'm supposed to land on my feet, but not in the Sea of Japan.
Matt is definitely getting better as the character. We get more accustomed to the character.
Alright. And you fly majestically over customs.
Or semi-majestically.
And land in China. And that does about half of the travel, and that, I think, is where we will leave it be.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good compromise.
Yep. Oh, Lord. So I had my glorious fate points for a short period.
All you have to do now is get across China, which will invariably involve crossing the Great Wall.
Yeah.
Of course. And then get to your train, and there's no problem. In fact, we see you all land in China. You start looking at a map and going, we could bicycle to here, but then we'd have to... And fortunately, the one thing you did do before you went up the mountains was you already bought the train tickets. You know, so you know where you're going. You're riding on what is known as, I believe it's the Transcontinental Express, but I could be wrong. That fits in my next lot of notes. You know, you're riding on this railway all the way across China, through Russia, through Germany, through Europe, taking various different trains and that sort of thing. But it should be no problem. You've got all the tickets there. There's nothing you can do to make it go faster or slower. It's just a train ride. And you look at it and go, well, finding those luck dragons may have been difficult, but once we get across China, all we've got ahead is a simple train journey. What could possibly go wrong? And that's when the credits go, dun dun, Doctor the Strange, the Strange Expedition in the train, dot dot dot, to tomorrow? Question mark, exclamation mark, question, exclamation mark.
Oh, beautiful.
Dun, dun, dun.
And after the credit, I can just imagine after the credits for the episode, you get, there's just a little voiceover of Myra going, well, Mr. Engineer, if you add this to the fuel line, boom.
Followed
maybe
by the
Oscars. Maybe the engine isn't quite ready for it yet.
What do you want to do with the second one that was in the middle?
That we didn't spend but still have access to.
If somebody can note that you've got a...
spare one, yep.
Group arrow point, basically.
Yep.
I'll redraw it and throw it back into the middle.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Imagine if the group ones agree.
I'll leave my husband here, and I'll refrain from bringing alternative husbands for a while.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Especially terrifying ones who become the villain. Become Torquato.
So, yes, thank you. That will bring us to doing a little bit more travel and then introducing...
Yeah, I believe she's going to be playing a brawler type character.
Oh, nice.
A strong female.
She sounds pretty awesome.
I have,
good, we need more fighters.
I have traded several emails with her.
Yeah.
And, know who the character is. She hasn't yet nailed down the skills and that sort of thing.
Okay, if someone's packed Pete away, I've got this note to add to the front of his character sheet.
Oh,
okay,
sorry,
well, you can
throw
it into mine.
Right, okay.
But,
she is looking at being
could I see the seven successes and failures?
You are four up on successes.
Sweet.
Nice.
Because we just pulled off some, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the chopper and the hang gliding.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, she's looking at playing a policewoman investigating Fogg murdering his brother.
Ah, that's right.
And of course, found too much. So what will probably be starting with is
her that
retroactive starting with story. Starting with her prologue.
Yeah.
Justifying how she got here, why she's on this train, and then cutting back to you guys
making it to
well,
the
rather
train.
Doing her prologue, then cutting to you guys doing the travel montage, and it's basically gonna be you get on the train, it's relatively empty for the first leg or two of the journey. It's just, you know, this person.
Sweet.
That's awesome. Yes, I have a good intro hook for that. I loved your retroactive It's almost a shame to move relatively fast through that, but I like the conception of we start after the... Because it was always going to be, you're going somewhere on this train. You're either going from an adventure you've already finished or going to an adventure you haven't done yet. And the from, I think, works much better. We just start with, yes, you did the awesome Chinese Luck Dragon adventure.
It's definitely the DLC adventure.
Yeah.
It looks the most awesome, but people will pay for it.
I'm just... If we did the awesome Luck Dragon adventure, what did Phileas and them do? Because only one team can really do that.
Well, the conception is that, as with the other things, he showed up and got a photo, and the guy took a look at him and went, this guy isn't reliable enough. Whereas when he...
Generally, with everyone else, he's bribed, lied, cheated, stolen, or otherwise acquired it. If I recall correctly, in Transylvania, he got there and made friends with Dracula, who was desperate for friends, and thus got the signature and the photo that way, and then stuck around to be an asshole anyway for his sinister purposes.
But the thing was, Dracula just asked us for a favour completely independently of the photo to save his son.
In Egypt, he showed up late after you guys had been in, solved the problem... Merely met with Mrs.
Right,
whatever her name was, talked to her about.
Because she was perfectly happy to give us the photo.
Yeah, she just happened to get possessed by an ancient Egyptian priestess.
We just had to depossess her, at which point we got the photo and could have left Egypt and just let the kaiju money attack. We just didn't want to.
I can imagine that he went to see the martial artist guy. He sensed, man, that's some bad key, and just tried to get him out of the country as quickly as possible.
Yeah, he's a spiritual time bomb, and I don't want him to explode in China.
If you'll recall, in New York, it was Senator Gladhand who would sign anything and pose for any photo as long as you could get him to sit down for 10 seconds flat.
Yeah.
And the adventure was the completely unrelated
espionage
plot that happened because someone accidentally took your photo.
Yeah, we were trying to get our photos back.
An easy job, eh?
Yes, so... And Dr. Amelia Hunt owes Elsa her life in a previous adventure and thus said, okay, you know, I already owe you this. Here's the photo, here's the thing done.
Well, although, what would Amanda Hunt have asked Amelia Hunt have asked from us? Was she going to ask us for a favour?
No, because she had the same relationship, a different but the same relationship with you.
Yeah.
It's Doctor Strange, my old and dear mentor. Of course I want you to succeed on what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you've already done so much for me.
Yeah.
Here, have this photo and the signature. I believe that's where it was already going. What I want you to do is sit down for the night and talk to me about my amazing Pilquato discoveries. And we can talk science, and it's so good to see my old friend. Oh my god, I've been poisoned by the plot.
Yes, so naturally we spent that night with her after everything was all resolved.
So thus far, for his photos, Fogg has done more or less jack and shit. He's done all the actual travelling, but...
He has some adventures, because he has villain adventures opposing us, like the one in the trial where he was, you know, making lots and lots of social combat checks to counteract all our stupid actual evidence gathering.
However, this is deliberate, because their party is gaining XP based on what they do and what they accomplish. Like you guys, when you accomplish more, you get more XP. Thus far, they're sitting on about 3 for the campaign.
Really?
Well, how many adventures have they been in where they have made a significant accomplishment?
I'm just super proud of myself taking that journey.
They did nothing in Egypt, so they get no XP for it. They didn't succeed in Transylvania.
So they get minus.
So they get stuff because they were there and did stuff. They did stuff in New York. They really didn't do stuff in the Crocodile Cult because it was all off screen.
They're running off.
You know what you should do for your next advancement? You should take some resources to reflect the fact that you now have a giant ruby.
But yeah, the theory is that they're... They're not gaining XP as they go, by and large, whereas you guys are, because you're doing it the hard route. Fogg just slimes his way through everything, gets the end, and goes, oh shit, I'm underleveled for the final encounter. Whereas you guys go, yeah, we got here the hard way, bitch. We fought a giant mummy.
Yeah. Who ran away from Pilquato?
Quick and easy.
The whole entire way.
Yes, but we surmounted all his traps first.
Yeah.
We killed a god. I'm sure that's worth a bit of XP.
I know what my... I've worked out with Jared what my next 3 advancements are going to. Pete's going to social tank himself up so he can have social combats to get Elsa and Maxwell and Fogg out of trouble.
Nice. Stealth and hush.
No, so it's level my spirit to D8, boost my social skills, and then take the resolve stunt that boosts my social defense skills.
Nice. You need to recruit Elsa so you can have Hush.
Yeah, it was very helpful. But I think we all know the party would be better with Elsa in it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, except for, you know, the murderings.
Loyalty
to Fog and that sort of thing.
A fixed version.
So yes, you have now done 4 of 6 adventures.
Nice.
Sure. And we're going to have a fifth party member.
Yep.
It's going to be so great.